Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're ready.
Okay, well, welcome everyone to the 9 a.m. general discussion. It is 9 o'clock. Our chair will be a couple minutes late, but she'll be here for Tuesday, January 15th, 2019. Our first item up is BLM land exchange discussion with Sarah.
Morning, commissioners.
Morning.
I apologize about my delay, Commissioner Fowler, in sending you the packet from BLM, but I did successfully email that to all three commissioners this morning, so you have the latest copy of the property maps and descriptions.
Now, is this the one that you and Simon have been working on for, like, Hog Creek Boat Landing and...
Correct.
It is? Okay.
Yes,
I was wondering...
Yeah, so it's all the same ones that have been... put up the line that Cy Jamison's working on.
Right.
I think the purpose of today's meeting mainly is to talk about letters of support. We need to have those gathered and passed off within the next 3 or 4 weeks. And so we're asking commissioners to kind of scratch their head about user groups that would be a good fit. I know I've started a list, and at the last meeting with Commissioner Fowler, we discussed, you know, Morrison's Lodge, Galise Boat Ramp, or Galise Private
Resort. Wildlife Images, that kind of thing.
So if you'd like, I can email the list that we have started, and we can continue to add to it.
Okay. Is there any pieces of property that you're in negotiation with about?
Are you talking about if we're contemplating changing the list?
Right. Is there stuff you would like to put on the list that's not on the list, that they take off the list?
Yes, specifically, Sprague Seed Orchard was removed from the list due to one or two public comments early on. I would like to see us still pursue it, as it is a large chunk of land that BLM is no longer using as a seed orchard. They are using one of, I think, three tax parcels right now for storage and maintenance buildings. I don't know how long they plan to use those, but we could always... ask for all three and only take two of the parcels. It's a very, how many acres? Let's see.
Let me ask a question. During the fire season, did the fire people lease that land from whoever owns it? In other words, we were out there, that fire camp was out there for 3 months.
Sure.
Is there an opportunity? Yeah, is there an opportunity to bill somebody for that just for some of what we did with Selma? Lake Selma?
There could be either way. Yes, I'm not sure if BLM themselves receive a check or if they just do it interagency to interagency. As parks, we would have the option to either rent our land for a price, or if commissioners so wish, if we were to control the land, we could also let fire camp set up there for free for several months. It seems like that was the holdup from the public comment, was about fire camp and it being used. It could still be used for fire camp after development in 20, 30 years.
Because I got a phone call from some residents out there that live out there, and they didn't want it turned into a park. Because they said if it turns into a park, it's an attractive nuisance, or they had a stronger terminology for it. But they didn't particularly want that around there. They got a nice quiet, they moved out there, it's nice and quiet. They don't want a whole bunch going on next door to them. However, you know, I don't want to make money off of fires because I don't want the fires to start in the first place.
I agree.
So,
well,
I'm
I like the idea.
Seed orchard.
I like the idea of putting it back on the list, also to give them something to say no to.
Bartering chip.
Yeah.
If they say no, then we might get something else. Is that what you're thinking?
Right. It bolsters the ask.
You use it as a chip. They say we put it on the list. They go, no, we're going to take it off the list. They say, what else are you going to leave on there, maybe?
And if we get it, we don't have to turn it into a park tomorrow.
No.
It could be 20 years from now and be a few.
Absolutely. One thing I want to point out is the Provolt Seed Orchard. They're probably not going to let that go easy. They've already hired some landscape architects. They've had public meetings, and they're advancing forward with developing that parcel as BLM. And so I imagine that's one that they're going to nix off our list. I think every neighbor next to every park doesn't want there to be a park there. I have neighbors that call me. I had one at Schroeder that said, I can see your tent campers now. And I said, I'm sorry that you decided to move next to a park. And I know there's a check and balance, but if we needed a buffer zone at Provolt between neighbors and park, I think...
Now, okay, go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think that the question really is it in the best interest of this county, economically, tourist-wise, for recreation purposes, to develop another location such as Sprague Cedar Orchard that would have the potential to bring in large events, be a very large center with walking trails, RV park, pond use... Is that more important for the entire economy versus a couple comments from neighbors?
And that's what the neighbors are concerned about.
Of course.
But the neighbors are my age, so I don't think you have to be concerned too terribly much longer. I think a younger group is going to move in there with a little bit more foresightedness. You mentioned Provo.
Yes.
The last I read in the paper, of course, I believe everything that comes in the paper, that Provo was going to march ahead, that the BLM was going to march ahead with some kind of plans out there for this and that and the other thing.
They're already having open houses. Yeah.
But is Provo on our list to take over?
Provo is listed as a high priority. Mainly that one is the only one that we're also asking for deed transfer by deed so that we own the mineral rights, because Commissioner Hare's idea was that you could pull the mineral out of there and the revenue you create from that would actually fund the development of that park.
Right. And even though the government, federal government, has started a process, I still think we should keep it on our list.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they haven't done anything.
I have no problem with either one of them being on there, because first off, the goal of this is to get these postage stamps of federal land that they own right in the middle of our county to kind of get those, take care of that postage stamp thing and clean up some of this stuff that in our county we have to take care of it, but they own it.
Sure. So, yeah, and I'd also like to point out that there was a fire at Sprague Seed Orchard last year because the grass was unmowed and there was a small fire that started there that had to be put out. I believe that was right before fire camp occurred.
Yeah, but they had a camp there and they had the t-shirt. Oop, change the name on the t-shirt. Sprague Seed Orchard Grass Fire, wildland, wetland.
They got it out pretty quick.
I believe that there was minimal damage. It was a grass fire. But it just goes to that they're not maintaining it.
It was awfully dry out there. We went out there to look.
I know that we have somebody in D.C. that's advocating for us on this.
We've hired one or two lobbyists, I believe.
Yes. And as far as locally, have you had any leeway with any local folks?
We as the county were very tight-lipped and did not talk about this in public until maybe about a month and a half ago when we decided to release the entire packet. Part of this meeting today is to set up a date and time so that the public can actually make comments and talk about this, because we have not talked about this with the public. The few people that have come into my office and have talked about this with me, once they understand the mindset of we're not developing every parcel and the maintenance behind it and it being more efficient, people are understanding and seem to support
it.
So you're looking at having some town halls around the county in the areas near where this is, and just to get public feedback. But BLM needs to be a part of that conversation, or federal agencies, do they not?
I would agree. Yes, I met with Councillor Wally Hicks and Darren Fowler the other day to update Fowler on this situation, and he suggested it was time to do one public hearing with the commissioners, and I am open to doing that at different locations. I don't know that we've talked to the local BLM. I don't think it was Commissioner Hare's plan to ever really work with the low-level BLM here locally, but to work with the higher-up. Of course, this board can choose to do what you'd like.
And do you think they'd feel slighted if we didn't invite them?
Unknown.
Can we get them on our side?
I haven't met the new field manager here with BLM since Alan stepped down.
Maybe we should set up a quick meeting with the new field guy, because I share your concerns. You know,
after the government shut down.
Yeah, it's shut down right now.
Right, so he's on furlough. Maybe he's got all the time in the
world. Maybe we can go to his patio and have a talk with him or something. But no, I share your concerns that you leave the local guy out. He can make a lot of, if he doesn't understand the nexus behind it, he can make a lot of trouble just asking questions. Well, what's he doing there? You know, why is he asking those questions? I'd rather have him in the loop than out of the loop.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Even if we're working above his head and going over the top of him, that's not, I think it'd be good that we had him in the room. So
I agree.
How big of a venue do you think would need? I mean,
I thought that Commissioner Legal Counsel Wally Hicks' suggestion was to just do it in one of your public meetings at Ann Basker. But I don't know if you anticipate larger turnout.
And then we'll see how many people show up.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you in agreement with that? You think we ought to? I think we need to get out there.
I have a lot of thoughts of the process that's been done versus what could be done. And I do think having public feedback, but without having a clearer understanding of what you do with the property, where people can give feedback, or maybe we're soliciting, what would you like done with that?
They have a pretty good description.
Okay.
Well, I don't know that the public has seen the description, and I agree. I'd rather be transparent. I'd rather have this conversation. If people have questions, let's answer them.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And so maybe what we could do is choose a date for the public. It could be set out 3 weeks a month. We can plan to meet with the local guy at BLM to say, hey, here's our thoughts, here's where we're going. We could release all of this in a PDF form to the public online so they can read through the narrative of each description. Why are we asking for each parcel? What is the mindset behind it? That might help people prepare then when they come to your meeting so that they're not upset about the unknown.
They're getting the facts up front rather than having some of our folks that we have that decide that, okay, this is my opinion or what they're doing with it.
Yes.
Then this would clarify that. Maybe, hopefully, curb a lot of that right off the bat.
And then you'd represent this at that public meeting.
I'd be happy to put it into a PowerPoint, absolutely.
Okay, so going forward, we're going to talk to the new guy at BLM, right?
Yes, sir.
Plan a town hall after we find out what exactly is in this thing, because I'll be honest with you, I haven't read it.
And I'd like to...
This guy here, he is way...
I've already read it twice.
They're the regulars around here because...
Well, and I think...
I got to get to the new guy and find out.
We need to touch base with the lobbyist and see what the status of things is there.
Yeah, what the feel is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wally seems to be in touch with him, and I agree we can reach out and talk to him directly as well. His feedback, I think it was about 3 weeks from now, we had to have support letters to go to talk to the floor next.
Okay, and...
So she's going to send out an email to us to add to the list of people we think could write support letters.
Okay.
We started with, like, Wildlife Images. Morrison's.
Yeah, Dave's side.
Yeah.
And then my ask would be to commissioners, if you know anybody, any contacts at this list, if we could help divvy up who's making the phone calls. I can certainly cold call everybody, but if you know the person that we're calling, it might just have more weight to get that letter of support.
Okay.
I have emailed you this morning. You missed this comment, but the full packet, so feel free to review it. Sprague Seed Orchard currently isn't on there, but I can send that separately so that you can see what the parcels contain and what my description of that was.
Okay.
So that you can contemplate whether or not you'd like to add it back to the list.
Excellent.
Email.
Do you have any other questions for me?
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Everything okay? Okay.
Fabulous.
Yeah, good.
Most of these properties aren't going to be developed. Most of them are right next to the parcels that we already own and will be exactly how they exist today. The exception of that would be the Provolt Seed Orchard, the Sprague Seed Orchard, and Griffin Park we would be looking at adding in the future.
I'm just curious. I've been getting some calls of complaints and concerns about Cathedral Hills.
Oh.
What portion of that are we maintaining right now? And is that your department or a different one?
Cathedral.
We have the parking lots, I know.
Yeah, we own the Walker Road entry.
Okay.
I can refer up here. So this here is Cathedral Hills. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is way back when Parks entered into an agreement with BLM to develop all the trails up there, and originally my department was the one maintaining this entire complex. At some point when we became self-funded and the economy started to go downhill, we said, we don't have the staff, we're no longer able to do it, and we turned all of BLM parcels back over to them. They maintain it, including the SB Road entry, which is the one that's paved and is most popular. At this time, the county still owes this Little Walker Road entry, as well as this parcel way up in the mountains. My department can never get to this. In fact, I've never seen it. I've never been up there. My rangers have never been up here.
Does the trail cut through that?
Trails go all through this and back over to these. And so the only thing we occasionally visit is Walker Road to pick up trash. The neighbors
had a lot of issues with overnight activity and illegal use of this lot. About a year ago now, we put in a fence at the beginning, did a combo lock, and gave all the neighbors the combo. They've been closing it every night, opening it every morning, and they've had virtually zero issues since we've put in that gate. So the neighbor's happy right now.
The complaints I'm getting are at the Sky entrance and the SB Road.
So that is BLM property currently.
The BLM claims we are the ones that patrol the parking lots or control the parking lots.
That's interesting. I have never once been in charge of SB Road since I've been here. We successfully turned it back over to them in either 2000.
Okay. SB Road's in the city, isn't it?
I'd have to
the SB
look
Road
at paperwork.
Parking lot?
Not at that. I don't think the end of SB Road is it?
I don't think so.
Well, that why did we remember when they had the they had, we had a presentation on a subdivision plat up there?
Oh, it was on the other side, the Neomar or the Morris Lane side.
Right, but it was still it. We were the ones that made the judgment on the fact that SB Road couldn't handle the.
Let's find out, because BLM spoke with the individual that I was talking to and said that it was Sheriff's Office responsibility to patrol that. And I said, well, we can at least ask Sheriff's Office to drive by or, you know, resident deputy to make sure it's on its loop. But isn't Skycrest that city until it gets up on the hill and then it's county? It's all in the UGB, I know that. But
Let's find out.
Yeah.
Does the sheriff have a BLM officer?
Correct.
Well, is that a current city map? Then if it is, the city limit is way back down by Grant.
This is 1976, isn't it?
No, I'm going to say this isn't because I believe that things expand all the way around.
Sorry.
This is Schroeder, and so I think that the UGB actually expands down around there, so you might need an updated one.
Sweet. We'll get an updated map, so when we're looking at it, it's actually what we're supposed to be looking at. But that is curious, because if BLM is talking to citizens and saying it's the county's negligence right now, it's going to put an interesting spin on the neighbor's perspective of us taking over the whole thing and maintaining it.
Sure.
Also, this year, they closed it for a while for maintenance. They had horses up there to pull the logs out of the trails and all that other kind of stuff. And it's a pretty amazing process, but... my animals spend weekly time up there, but not me. My grandma takes my dogs for walks.
I love it. Okay. Anything we missed?
No, I don't think so. I think that this is a perfect example of the confusion between BLM and us. There's several places where we have verbal agreements in place.
Right. And where we have to drive across their stuff and they have to drive across ours.
Lots of crossing, and I think this would really help create more clear-cut lines for the public as well as both agencies.
All right. Sounds really good.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I might say a thank you for
it. All right. Next up on our agenda, thank you. Today's my mom's birthday, and I was bad, and I made breakfast for her, and it just... I'm sorry.
I didn't get breakfast this morning because I need to get in there early because we had it.
Well, I grilled some salmon up and made some eggs and salmon, so if you need some, I have some in my office.
That's fine.
So, but anyhow, thank you for indulging my tardiness. My mom's pretty special, and I like to celebrate her, as we all are fortunate with our moms and that when we have them. So. All right, so Community Development Director, well, let's looking at the rest of it. Yeah, Community Development Director position is next. So, Julie, welcome to this morning. Both Julie and I got in town late last night. My meetings went long enough. I didn't leave the AOC until after 5. It was 9 when I got into town, so.
It was late. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning. You seem to be a grandma.
I hope the celebrations were
It was wonderful.
Awesome.
Boy or girl? Nice.
Boy.
Hallelujah. We may win this one yet. I'm teasing.
Good thing he's not ornery, right? Well, okay, so, you know, we really, there's Julie's letter. Do you have it memorized?
Wendy was printing me a copy of it because I came straight from home.
Okay. I think for me, there's a few things in here that, have you all had a chance to go through it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, through everything but the last page, and I fell asleep. Not because it was boring, it was because I was tired and I was in Salem.
And my first response was, extremely professional of you to prepare that document.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything quite like that. So comprehensive, thoughtful, helpful, all those things. So thank you.
I care. I'm passionate about it.
I think it's a plan going forward, and I'll leave it up to the entire board whether it's a good plan, a plan we want, or whatever. Let's just go on from there, I think. But appreciate the fact that you did spend all the time on this.
Sure.
Tells me that you're not entirely ecstatic about leaving, which is good. But I think there's some room here that we can work with. Sure. I did run into your county commissioner up there as soon as he stepped out of his car. Hey, commissioner, how you doing? I said, I don't talk to pirates and thieves. What? Then I said, you heard what I said.
That's funny.
We're pirating our staff to make yourself look good. And I said, I don't like that.
I emailed Commissioner Pash, the new Curry County commissioner. I met him at AOC conference, and the first thing he says is, we're taking Julie. I said, back off, bucko.
Yeah.
And I said, anyhow, I emailed him in jest yesterday, said, could you at least give him me a month? Come on.
Well, I think we'll get through this. We'll get through this. And like I said, I told you in private, whatever is good for you is what I'm for whatever you want to do for Julie. That's just the way it is.
Excuse me a second. Wendy, do you have a copy of that letter for me? Thank you so much.
That'd be swell.
Do we want to start at the top? Do you want to start at any particular topics? There's lots of subtopics in here of recommendations. I, for a while, have felt that I wanted to change up economic development. I felt for a long time there's so much on your plate that how do we focus on it all? And what portions are your passions and this and that? So if you were staying, in my mind, it was kind of like, okay, what do we do with this? But it's not really anything that we've, as a board, haven't talked about in 2 years, the structure of community development. We inherited it as it is, but what we have done is grown it with the code enforcement program and the marijuana ordinances that just passed and what that's going to be looking like with us having the implementation of the application process and the annual inspections and such like that, that still hasn't been addressed. But with economic development, I know it's Commissioner DeYoung's favorite topic in the whole wide world, and so I thought we should assign it to him. Just kidding. But I have already felt that planning and building safety might be better suited without economic development.
And that's what happens when you tailor to a person's passion some things, and then that person moves on, dang it.
Yeah.
And then you have to rethink that a little bit, so I get that.
Well, I just in reading this and just a snapshot, it appears to me that commissioners, myself included, is piling an awful lot on your plate that needs to go back to the commissioners, because it says every one of these deals says, and the commissioner will report back to the commission, to the board, every one of them. And they're all pointed directly at old Wattosh here, because I'm not really big at, you know, I sit in so ready meetings, and I think it's one of those deals that my heart's not in it. It's like somebody explaining to me how fast their Ford is. I just, it's not working for me. So I just, but that's...
Are you a Chevy man? Is that why?
It is all 1-843-6572. But no, as far as, and you're absolutely right. I was, when going through this, I said, gosh, I didn't realize how much we were piling on you and how many hats you had to wear at the same time. So apologize for that.
And it was okay. I mean, I've done this before. You know, this isn't the first Coney I've done it.
You're getting ready to do it again. You know that, don't you?
I know. I just, you know, the thing is, we've come too far. I need something that's more of a challenge again. So, it's okay for me because that's the way the job description was created. When I applied for it, I knew economic development was in there. I've done that before. I can do it. I just know that I'm kind of unique in that sense that most people don't have that whole big comprehensive set of skills.
Right.
So I know it's really hard to replace when you leave economic development in there. And it is a challenge. It really is a challenge.
Is economic development something that's already, as to me, in the almost 10 years that we've been, that I've been in the room with Soready, I think they've moved forward in leaps and bounds from what they were when
where they
first
started
got
to where they are
when
today.
We got on city council, I went, who the heck are these people and what do they do? And they had no deliverables whatsoever. And they're a pretty crack organization now. And I see things coming out of that. They now the loan program, they're doing an awful lot of stuff that I don't know whether we should lean heavier on them, on Soready. I think they get the picture now that we're regional. We're also changing over in Soready to being individual little postage stamps and pieces of the puzzle into looking at the whole puzzle comprehensively. And they've got that, and I think that works out well for us. We're never, and people, well, we never get our share. Well, we've got 80-something thousand to 204,000 population-wise. We're probably never going to get an equal share to Jackson County. They have things over there in Jackson County that we can't provide here, well, namely flat industrial land that's ready to build. So do we say we've got to be like them, or do we move away from that and find out what our strengths are, capitalize on our strengths, maybe it is not having a Brunswick bowling machine factory here. So I think, you know, is this the time that we say we have somebody targeting economic development on staff? However, we turn more of it over to Soready. Do you feel comfortable with doing that? What's your thoughts?
I do. I'm under the mindset that if you show up, you go up. And when I came on board, Josephine wasn't showing up.
No.
So we have SBDC, we have Soready, we have these great organizations that we could have been tapping into, we could have been participating in.
We could have been supporting.
Yes, and I'm not just saying you show up at a meeting and, you know, but actually engaging with them, being a sounding board. And I think that, in my mind, we've come pretty far where we have made our presence known. They know what we want. They know we're a good partner, that we want to support what they're doing as well. I think we're to the point with our economic development programs that we can lean heavily on all of those partners and still have a strong program. What I mean by the commissioner, and there's nothing targeted at you, Dan. What I'm just saying is that, you know, it's one of those things where I think it would work if who's ever assigned to those meetings just reports back so everybody's in the loop. Because where I saw a problem when I first came on board is the other commissioners didn't know what's going on, so then they were kind of adversarial to I'm not saying that happened here. I'm just saying sometimes that happens where, you know, they don't support a program because they don't know about it. So this is one of those programs that all commissioners are interested in. So it would make sense if there's just, you know, maybe that monthly report on, hey, what do you know is Soready doing or SBDC doing or something like that. So the commissioners are aware. They're aware that, hey, Soready's working on a regional plan. We're going to have to be talking about this soon, you guys. They're probably going to do an ask, that type of thing. And I think it could work. I think it could work without staff being assigned to that role. Now, there is you know, when I came on board, in a perfect world, you know, I wanted to do the industrial parks and that type of thing. We don't have the resources to do it, and we have higher priorities right now. So maybe what happens is we rely on those partner agencies. We make sure we're showing up. We just make sure we're discussing it and reporting back. And I think that those small requests we get, I think, as I said in the letter, I think those should go to the collaborative, the City County Economic Development Collaborative, for vetting and get their input. You know, hey, the county has $50,000 left over to spend. So-and-so wants so much to bring the Manufacturing Economic Partnership Summit here or something. What do you think? And then have them make recommendations to the board. I mean, that helps with the board getting somebody else's viewpoint on it, like we're doing right now. I think if you structure it that way, the economic development side can really work.
I think the amount to Illinois Valley Chamber is too high.
Well, right now we pay $500 to the... And that's just something to discuss at budget time. But
okay.
Illinois Valley Chamber, right now we pay $500 to them. Mm-hmm. And we pay...
But the membership of both is substantially different. I just think it needs to be proportional. If it needs to increase, I think the level of increase in your recommendation is too high. Especially... without being able to see the outcomes that would draw. The level of engagement and things that are being done between the two, the amount isn't the same.
Correct. They do have a new chamber director down in the Illinois Valley, though,
yeah,
which will help. And I also think maybe by making it fair, that takes some of the pressure off the individual request coming into the board.
It's not fair. It should be per population or
proportional.
Yeah. Fair is proportional representation of the county.
So if you took...
Our dues aren't scheduled, set up that way right now with the existing chamber, though, just so you know.
If you change IB to 2,500 and take Grants Pass to 7,500...
No, I'm not asking to change Grants Pass.
Okay.
I'm just saying...
All right.
You go to go from 500 to 5,000 is a pretty substantial leap. So
yeah, in my mind, I'm like, hopefully that will stop robbing the economic development budget for projects in Keith Junction. Let the chamber step up. Let the city step up.
Yeah, we have lots of desires of those partnerships, and there's groups doing that, but I don't know that that's the answer just from seeing what's gone on the last couple of years.
Sure.
Right, because some of the stuff that they want is substantial down there, and it's just a matter of finding a way to fund it. And, you know, and of course, we funded quite a few things down there by selling that building. You know, and people were upset, boy, you sold our only meeting place. Well, now all of a sudden we're finding different meeting places are popping up all over the place. You know, and we've got Tim out there working on that Selma Community Center. It needs $8,000 for a well to get that thing back up and running again so the little blue rooms can go away. But, you know, there's just a lot of little things out there. I don't think giving them five is going to help them out, but I would say bump it up to 2,500. We're not talking about that.
I'm just saying that
I
understand. So one of those things on this conversation is you've been assigned or offered to be liaison. I know this is a passion. When you were with the city, you and I would be in similar meetings sometimes.
Right.
So a lot of this would kind of fall in your direction and your leadership as the you'd be kind of becoming that economic development.
Yeah, and being with
person.
Planning and being with economic development, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd want to continue. I think it fits into my lane.
Mm-hmm.
Ambassador. You're the ambassador to the Valley.
Well, and if we brought economic development kind of back under the commissioners, is that something you're wanting to take on? Would you want that?
Yeah, I would need help, obviously,
yeah,
from you guys and from the past management of it. But, yeah, I think it would be appropriate. But it's for a longer discussion, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm up for it.
The topic first came up, I had mentioned, I just happened to be over in the legal office, and I had said something about this letter that we received, and legal said, oh, I wasn't aware, and I mentioned some of your recommendations, and they said, well, there's some state requirements of certain positions and certain designations and such, and can you let us know what those are?
Sure.
I know we need a building official.
You need a building official, you need a plan commission, you need a planning director or somebody assigned to sign for certain things that can be your building official. You can assign, whereas a building official has to have state certifications, a planning director does not. And you've done that in the past where, you know, you could just take
some all covered by the building official? Everything that the planner has to have, is that all covered under the building official's?
Well, in the state of Oregon, they don't require the planner to have anything. But they do require the building
official.
We do
in our job description.
In our job description, we prefer certain degrees and things of that nature is what we prefer. But by state law, there's no requirements for the planning director. Mm. That
but
says they have to have a certification.
Have
yeah.
Yeah.
You have to have somebody assigned to be responsible for, like, the Department of Land Conservation development programs, submissions. Somebody to sign things on plats. You know, it has to... Your building official can't sign as the planning representative unless he's been given that duty to sign as the planning representative.
Right.
So what I recommended in there is what Jackson County does, which is Jackson County pretty much took a lot of the economic development and farmed that out. And then they... Kelly Madding, actually who ran the department at one time, she went to the city of Medford, and so they took their building official, and he is now the head of the community development department. So he is still their building official, but he has the authority to sign as the planning director. Mm-hmm. So he basically wears both hats. So, and that is how I have proposed that be set up. The other thing is, I know we often talk about what's easiest for our constituents and having similar codes to Jackson, and how does Jackson do it, and how are their processes. This also helps, I think, people understand. It's just basically structured the same way, and will be similar to Curry County as well. So the Southwest region would all be structured.
And that's something SoReady has actually been asking in the last few meetings that I've been sitting in, is that we start to look at how do we as a region have similar forms, have similar process, make sure that as the resolutions that we just were passing about being business friendly, that we're looking at that model. And Julie had listed Mark as second in command and all that, and she was out of town. I ended up having to call him. He probably is not sure he ever wants that again. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, we were talking about it. Kind of like you say engineering for yes, that's my expectation up there, is that when somebody comes to the counter, we are seeking the information that says, what are you actually trying to accomplish? Not what question are you asking today, what's your end goal, and how do we get you there? How do we find that yes so that we can help you get your project done, so people are not leaving discouraged that they can't get something done or they can't do something, or, you know, that we're actually making sure that our customer service level is meeting the needs of the customers. And it's similar to what you've been incorporating at Public Works. And
engineering towards success and towards in finishing about how can we get you to your project. Of course, if they want to cantilever a deck out over the Rogue River, we're not going to allow that. But that's up to you.
There may be a way. Just kidding.
There might be, and there may be a way. I would like to explore that before we tell everybody no. Mm-hmm. And that's the frustration I've had. And it's not just, it's across the board. When a couple of projects I wanted to do over across the parking lot, when I was dealt with a no, and then I turned right around and I sold the property. And as soon as I sold the property, a local contractor was able to do exactly what I wanted to do because they said yes to him and no to me. Cost me probably in the $107,000 range. So that's why I'm here. That's why I get concerned about government.
I guess. And, you know, I know you can't take this into consideration, but this is the way I think. I'm very passionate about a job when I do it. I basically live and breathe it. And so I'm cautious about who I want to see something handed off to. It's not my decision who the program gets handed off to. But I do know that since we have combined building safety and planning, Mark and I have a similar mindset, which is you figure out a way to make it happen. I am concerned about somebody from the outside coming in with your, I hate to say it, your standard planner mentality, which is this is what the code says. I prefer to see it go to somebody that I know has the same mindset of working with people and trying to make things work, and also has that customer service first mentality. That's important to me. Again, not my decision, but you don't always get that when you hire planners.
And not, you're not just setting it up so you can come back in a year.
Oh, God, no. I actually can retire in a year. So.
That doesn't mean you have to.
No.
Okay.
No. We also, just real quickly, Commissioner, we also set it up this past year knowing that there was too much on my plate. We set it up so that we had a planning supervisor, kind of. So we made James Black a senior planner. So he oversees that whole planning function. We did the same thing with code enforcement, so Denise was overseeing the code enforcement staff. So we've kind of set it up where we have these divisions, and they're led by qualified people. You just need somebody for the budget and the hiring, the firing, and making sure the wheels keep turning.
And the accountability at the top to us.
You've covered just about everything in your letter, and I don't have any. I see some challenges, especially with the marijuana staff, because we just passed that. All of our ordinances, and one of them is mandatory compliance annual inspection. We have staff up for that. We can't do that just in-house now, in your estimation.
Right. We talked about the fact we needed to add staff for that.
Right. Yeah. And I think we knew that going in when we said we were going to do it. But I talked a little bit to Commissioner Boyce about this. He says, well, you know, I know there's park projects he wants to finish. How do we get to that? Do we say you come back here on a contract basis 2 days every other week or something and just kind of touch base and see how things are progressing? Or
so I told Curry I would come back with the understanding I was able to come back and help Josephine if they wanted me. So Curry knows that if they want me, they have to share. Now we just have to see if that's what you want, and then how we make that work. I'm very passionate about the marijuana program. I want to see that through. It's not a program that I feel I can just hand off to staff. There's no staff that has been working solely on the land use side of that and the code development side of that. You know, I would propose I be here. I still have an apartment here. I would propose I'd be here every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, doing with access to the building if I can, to do the work I have to do, and just keep giving you updates on the time that's being spent. I don't know how that works with pay. You'd have to figure that out. JJ would have to figure that out. But I'm willing to drive back and forth for at least 6 months is what I'm thinking.
But Julie, you're going to miss all the nightlife in Gold Beach.
That's okay. That's okay.
Somebody spiked his coffee this morning with, you know,
it's a little
caffeine
feisty.
Or something.
Yeah.
What are you ever going to do without the never mind.
He knows there is no nightlife in Gold Beach.
I'm going to need you a lot coming up in the next 3 or 4 months for the.
And I expect
it is
that.
now the Law Enforcement Stability Act.
Okay, good.
The Law Enforcement Stability Act, and I'm going to need your expertise on numbers and
yep.
how that works out. So,
I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave you.
Yeah, that's going to be my passion for the next 6 months.
Yes.
I've told my wife, the cat, the dog, everybody that, you know, hey, if Grandpa has to go somewhere, it's going to be, hey, I'm out of here.
Hey, AOC, in the membership committee yesterday, you were the commissioner they mentioned as. He was here today.
Wow.
Yeah, they're excited because you were the naysayer 2 years ago. I don't know about this AOC thing.
Yeah.
And you were there. So it's kind of exciting and the opportunity to get this project seen through.
This is gathering some steam that I never thought it would gather this early in the game. Gosh, but we've... Anyway, you and I need to talk about that before you leave the building, if you could do that.
Yes.
Unless you really need to get back over for a meeting in Curry County.
No, I can't.
Okay.
No.
So
I'm going to be on. I'm going to just.
You know, last week he was doing this to me, so I'm so glad you're the target today. It's fine for me to.
Glad you walked in. Boy, Lily was going to get it though. No, but I need to visit with you a little bit. But that's what if I can indulge on you for that. That's the only subject that I really think. I think you pretty well got it covered in there. We haven't talked about it.
No, but I think we kind of are at the point that HR is going to be expecting us to give them some direction of what the next
right,
steps
yeah,
are. Am I assuming
exactly.
correctly?
Yep. And when do you start in Curry?
So they wanted me to start right away, and I told them no, that I had to at least give a notice and I had to work things out. I did tell
and
them.
This is kind of a warning, not a notice yet, because there's not a date in there.
That is correct.
Yeah,
that is correct. So I told them I would be there on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, because we're off on Monday. And then I plan to be back to Josephine on Tuesday.
Do you
have much time to think through this?
No.
Okay.
No, and I'm expecting a lot of help on this one.
Right.
Since
yeah,
I'm coming into the game.
I do hope you understand that they painted you into a corner and then took your brush away.
I know.
Because they said, we're firing our guy, and you're the one to take his place.
And they're doing a little bit more than that, yeah.
And I thought, wow.
So the one concern I'd have for you is that at some point you may need a day off. Allowing yourself a day of rest is critical.
Yeah.
Even Friday, Saturday for us, and you have Sunday as a rest transition day to prepare for the other. I actually would like to see us do a wrap up some of these projects. I think we should follow for now the recommendation of the department head. And then that gives us the time with both kind of in the follow up to say, let's look at what we need to do for the next stages. Is this working? It kind of gives us an opportunity for a trial and essentially as an interim. And, you know, let's. My recommendation was that we work on you going to that part time couple days a week to wrap up these projects. That Mark would be the interim director, and this bias time to see how does that feel for you, how does this work in the flow in the department, getting these things lined up for wrap up. It gives us the time to
with
do it in a clean way.
With budget season coming up.
Yep. And she could potentially,
yes.
I mean, you've done your own budget. You've been a department head before, because before these two were combined in one department, it was department head over his department. So the experience for that management, and that's what I would recommend, is that we go to that status, and it gives us time to see what we want.
So the only piece I don't hear you talking about is when do we start looking for a new director?
Well, I think if your aim is 6 months, it buys us a 6 month process.
I'd like to review. I'd like to review the need. I mean, if we've got good people in and things are working, we've got 6 months and everything's working hunky dinky over there, and we're doing just fine. There's a possibility that we don't need a quote unquote director. Does that make sense?
It does. So maybe if in that 6 month view, maybe at 3 months we look at.
Yeah. Well,
should we go out now?
All the way along,
and
look at the
director, or is it working?
Correct.
And you shared this with your people.
I have not officially told my staff what we're talking about.
It's okay. The newspaper told them.
Yeah.
And two division, but two division heads are sitting in the room.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean,
I did share.
The cat's out of the bag.
I did talk to Mark to see what he would be willing to accept. Denise knows that I was very interested in Curry County. And JJ, I talked with JJ this morning. He's available by phone.
Well, and you sent up some flares a little while ago.
Yeah, I've been struggling for a while because I volunteer a lot of time over there, and I can. It's kind of like what I do over there is what I'm hoping to do over here. I mean, I can't leave. It's one of those things.
Well,
until
it's a
the
critical
project
time,
is
clean. You can realize that.
Yeah, I need to see the projects through to fruition. I can't.
And we want you.
Well, because you're changing the view that the whole state has on some of this.
Well, and so
through the board, I'm not saying she's alone.
No, but I think it's also important to realize that if it doesn't see through, it's not going to be a good thing for us.
No.
Well, and that's something we talked about last month, is what do we need to do to make sure that it's. You said you want what's best for Julie. I said the same thing, but I said, but I also need to make sure that we are intentional about our community needs, that we're not leaving that unhanded. And
I think that's for that review at 3 months, and then again at 6 months to see where we are.
Yeah.
See what our needs are, because we're growing. Your job, that your department is not getting any smaller. I mean, your requirements aren't getting smaller. They're growing. So let's just take a.
But,
litmus test in 3
because,
months.
And because we have the luxury of a longer transition, which I thank you for, we don't have to rush into a decision.
Besides
tomorrow.
That, it gives us something to dig at Court Boyce about.
Yes.
Every time we see it.
We're going to pick that scab until it never heals.
I would see it as an opportunity as well with the economic development stuff, that you two can get on the same page.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then you can recommend to us what you think would be the next, as you start going. I mean, you're a week into the job, 2 weeks in the job, whatever it is.
Week and 2 days.
And so I know you're an expert now.
Yes.
And but no, it would give you a chance to even see what all meetings you have to go to. But
yeah, it really works
and
for me.
You're coming up on your 2 week learning curve, so.
Well, and
I'm almost to the top of the hill.
I think, you know, something else I think about with this whole thing, and my department prides itself on how far we've come with the community. We've really gained a lot of trust there. I would feel I'm abandoning the people. So if we just cut this off. So I appreciate you willing to let me continue to help see some of these projects.
Well, my goal has always been, since taking office, is public perception of county government. And between you and Public Works, I think you are the closest, and the Sheriff's Department, you are the closest thing to the public, because you deal with them day in and day out. You've got a counter, and you have to answer the questions. And if you answer them in the right way, in a positive way, with a friendly face and a friendly voice, with the idea that we're going to get through this and find out how we can get this project done, rather than I'm going to lean on the national traffic standard safety where a driveways can't be within 600 feet of each other. That's a cop-out. And when it doesn't work in our area, and you've been really good, your whole department's been good about it, how does it apply to Josephine County? The rules, I get that, but you can go to international water code, and I don't care what they do in Kenya. I want to know what we do in Josephine County. So I think we're going to work out okay. I don't want you to leave. I can tell you that right now. I've never wanted you to leave because I value your opinion. You've come a long ways. And we've had a couple of people in here from the marijuana community that don't want to see you go, because you know why? As much as we fought and scrapped and everything, you were one of the catalysts that brought this whole thing. Level it out. Let's get it done, and we got it done. And that's fantastic. That here again, when you go to the state level, they go, well, yeah, I never figure out that many. Yep, we've got two ordinances, one of them, but you're kidding me. Mandatory compliance. Nothing that, you know, and they go, how'd you pull that off? It just happened. And I think it's great. You were very instrumental in that. So we're gonna miss you, but I'm glad you are not leaving under duress, and I'm glad you're not leaving because you hate the county and can't stand it anymore, and your passion in this letter tells me you're not.
I love the county.
You have, yeah. And to be honest with you, we're just kind of doing what Soretti's thinking regionally. We're just thinking regionally, Josephine and Curry. I don't know how payroll is going to work out, and the job is going to go. Keep fighting over there. I keep seeing you fighting. But we'll get through it, and I just appreciate your being candid in this letter.
And you're not moving to Washington. They're also in the region that we're banding together on a lot of things. So we will continue to have a great relationship.
And I think some of the things that Curry is facing now, you have already solved here. So that's to their advantage. And please extend to the board over there that we're willing to help any way that we can.
You can just tell them you're welcome.
As the Josephine, as the Josephine County Board of Commissioners, but we're also putting a deal on there. As soon as Court comes into Josephine County, he'll be pulled over to pay his toll to go through Josephine County. He'll pay a toll to go through Josephine County.
From north.
Tell him, Mr. Vilka, welcome to Josephine County, Mr. Boyce. I see you don't have your, what do you think, the daughter has a deal when you enter the toll road. It's TransPAC or something.
Pass,
it's a deal that's on your sun visor. And if you don't have it doesn't pick you up, and you get a ticket in the mail, you know, because it snaps a picture of your car, and you get it. You got that little transponder on the dashboard, and then you go through the toll thing without it. We'll get one of those for Court.
I actually think that this could be the opening to a new model for regionalism.
It might.
And I'm really hoping that we can help each other get stronger.
Yeah.
Because you know that I'm never going to not pick up the phone, or if I have an idea for you, I'm not going to share it with you. So
until recently, I always spelt Curry County with a K. That's how much I knew about Curry County. But I think it's getting stronger. I think we're getting a much better grip, especially through AOC. That AOC connection has really been strong. We've got some real strong partners. I noticed, I'm bringing it up to Commissioner Fowler, that look around the room and see how many class of 17 people are in here. And they're chairs and vice chairs and co-chairs and tri-chairs and whatnot. Of every committee I went to yesterday with the class of 17 was on board in a big way. So we have this opportunity, a real unique opportunity, to change the dynamics. And part of that, I think, as you're saying, maybe a little more regional on this, because you're planning over there and planning here, they got to go by the same set of rules.
Right.
So.
No, and that brings me to that So Ready proclamation of business friendly. We could say that all we want, but until there's some regional policies like standardized applications or whatever it looks like, We need to start backfilling that with buy-in from who we are and who Curry is.
Well, I think Colleen has really done a fantastic job with so ready at circling the wagons over there in comparison to what it used to be. I think she's...
We actually had a retreat last week, one-day afternoon retreat, where we sat down and we came up with more ideas on how to make it a regional business-friendly community. So we've got, for the next year, work plan is going to be some exciting stuff, too.
Very cool. We didn't support yesterday. That went down, didn't it, the 3% to 2% reduction?
Actually, the end result is we're neutral.
We're neutral.
So it has a strong possibility of passing either way, but the outcome of us as an association was
the makeup of the House and the Senate up there. I don't disagree with you.
And the reality is the need is still very much there. So there's getting assessment done and taxation. There's a proposed bill currently that would reduce the incentivization of businesses that pay early from 3% to 2%. And the difference of that 1% would go towards bringing all counties up to a level of assessment that they hope then would bring in the tax dollars to make up the difference, because of the fact that assessments are actually going to be done consistently and not just by who pulls a permit or the idea is taxation is supposed to be fair. The assessor's offices statewide are supposed to be on a 7-year cycle, that every 7 years your house is assessed. And we know that in our county there's some that haven't been since the 90s. And right now a lot of them are going based on who pulls a permit, which has its own ramifications of do people not pull permits and such. So that it's been something assessors have been trying to find a solution in counties for several years. It's the first time they're going at this route, and unfortunately who's paying is businesses. And so as an association, we opted to not support or attack. We just are kind of going to remain neutral on it.
But it was an interesting exchange. I heard what I heard from the gentleman doing the presentation from the Department of Revenue was it's $30 million on the biennium is what it would raise. Well, it's only $30 million. It's only $30 million, and we kept hearing that was just $30 million. Don't worry about it. It's just $30 million. I said, well, if it's only $30 million, go find your $30 million somewhere else. That's what you need to do. You need to go find your $30 million. But I listened to the breakdown when he said, well, it's going to be $9 million here, and then it was $5 million to the DOR, and then it was $3.5 million in admin to the DOR, and then it was this to the DOR, then it was that to the DOR, and I didn't see a whole bunch actually being dedicated as $30 million to giving it to the assessors so they can go hire new people to do the actual assessment. It was all admin up north, and that, or a good portion of it, I'd say 50 to 60% of it went to admin, and I didn't care for that.
We're in it for ourselves right now.
Hmm?
We're in it for ourselves right now. I mean, we really have to do what we have to as a region because, as you know, we can't rely on the state to help us.
But we can't afford to do a lot, and so the banding together regionally helps a lot.
Absolutely.
But this is a conversation. If we're, and I, at some point in time, I would like to have a from the assessor, maybe how far behind she is and what she needs. We don't hear from that department down there. It's just there.
We have heard here and there they need two more.
I'm going to meet with her this afternoon. I can ask.
Okay.
But in 2008, we brought our whole county down to what is the state requirements, and then we did 10% below.
Mm-hmm.
And so they haven't been increased in that time. And
what I would like is some sort of a roadmap to say if I had two more assessors or if I had three more assessors on the local level, what is my return on that investment in 2 years? Could you assess enough to make that payroll?
Okay. The other thing you should ask when you're going down there
is,
so yesterday that was the CAFA grant.
Mm-hmm.
So Josephine County this last year did not receive everything because we didn't match at a level that it actually caused us to lose out on some of the money. So we are providing the very lowest amount from county general funds to the program that the state program allows us to do and receive the CAFA grant. If we cut any more, we would lose the CAFA grant, which would cut our program. So see if Connie can go over that whole CAFA process with you. It's not an exciting topic, but it's a good one to know and to be familiar with. And so, and just understanding the funding and how all that works. So she would be a good one to bring you up to speed on that.
Sure.
And it would help understand what we're looking at the why we're at the staffing levels.
Well, and like you guys were saying, that's a position that the AOC took in some pretty good political maneuvering. It was still 20-10 with a couple abstainers, and so it ain't over yet. I think there's still time for that association to change its mind or the bill to mature to a place where we could support it.
Well, and quite honestly,
I don't think it's going to need AOC support one way or another.
No.
You know, that's the key there.
Yeah.
We've just voiced our opinion as the association, which is statewide, and there's no obligation from the representatives and senators to follow what we do or what the constituents want. We've kind of seen that.
I should... Oh, never mind. I'll bring that up later. Okay, so, Michelle, is there anything you need from us right now?
No, we were just looking which direction we were headed.
Okay.
We're going to be hiring immediately, and we're going to
start the process.
That. But at this point, we'll hold off on that piece.
Okay.
I think
and look at job description wise and kind of get that nailed down.
Yeah, and maybe in a few months we'll have a decision on economic development separation.
I would say let's keep that with Julie for now as she transitions to working with you until we figure out what plan to do with economic development. We'll just kind of put it under her category that you keep that portion.
Yeah, keep it for now.
And that leaves Mark available to make sure that we're looking at with the code enforcement planning and building officials what do we need? What does that look like in a different capacity if you're the department head and the building official, what staffing needs and all that kind of stuff. So for you and Commissioner Fowler to kind of come up with recommendations to us, and obviously, Julie, you're there so you can be advising in that process, but that's what we'll be having to look at as we also develop the marijuana program. We also haven't finished one of the ones on there. You saw was the code enforcement team, the all that kind of stuff, the with public health and solid waste agency and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of exciting things to wrap up. But I think if you're willing to give us a transition time, we'll be able to do it in a way that...
And court, just tell court that, you know, 8-year transition time is not excessive. that, you know, we tried for 10, but we'll settle for 8. An 8-year transition time is not I don't think it's that big of an ask.
I do have one more question. Do we need an interim job description for...
The interim director?
The interim director that includes planning.
Because
it said that the person who signs off has to have that...
Designation.
Title or that designation or that...
I think that we authorize whoever is the planning director. We just give that title.
Mr. Black?
Well,
I would recommend...
Yeah.
So I would assume that by me going part-time, I'm no longer your community development director.
That's what, yeah.
I'm more like a project coordinator.
Yeah.
Okay? So then I would then assume that the interim director would become Mark, would be able to sign for this.
Okay.
If he's assigned as the interim director. Because
yeah.
then he's assuming my responsibility.
And what we could do for now is leave all the... We could not change the job descriptions at all. For the director, and just have you in that role underneath that's covering the economic. He's essentially assigned to you the economic development in these projects.
Sure.
It still follows under his purview until we figure out what exactly are we going to do. And with Commissioner Fowler being the liaison of both, it gives you guys time to make, okay, this is our recommendation. We do need a part-time person for economic development, or we need a full-time, or we don't need anybody, or, you know, whatever. It gives you guys time to weed out what does that look like.
Okay.
So if you just leave the interim director alone, you would then fall under Mark's supervision, working with Commissioner Fowler.
Okay.
With the understanding that we're wanting her to have full access to Commissioner Fowler, if that's all right. I should mention that Chris Pash, which is the other Curry County Commissioner, said that he says, sorry, but I can't apologize for stealing Julie. I may need to send in a team of Marines, fellow Marines, for an extraction. And he's happy to welcome her. So
you just tell him we've got the Navy on our side, and he is a cultist community. Send the Marines all you want, bud. You don't know what a boomer can do to that place over there in about 30 seconds. Right at that. You go ahead and send in your Marines. The Marines have been guarding the Navy's gates for years, and we haven't lost one yet.
I've never felt so loved.
And so let's find a chance to meet some.
Yes. Okay. So I just
got
back
today.
Which maybe
only as soon as like next Tuesday. Because I'm going to be on Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Or today? Can meet today?
Maybe.
I'll touch base with you after the meeting.
Yes. Okay. I probably could at... Boy, it's tight. We'll talk.
Okay.
Thank you. Are we good?
I'm good.
Okay.
All right.
So...
Thank you. And don't leave the building.
No. There they all are.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
All right.
Yeah, there was. I didn't hear the music, but all the chairs got changed.
So I wanted to talk about the calendar for a little bit.
Okay, so on our agenda next is review the board's calendar. Interesting. Oh wow. Sorry, I just got subpoenaed. Thanks for serving me.
Yeah, and that day Dan's going to be gone too, so you have to go to that.
Yeah.
Well, if you got subpoenaed, I'd just let you know I have jury duty.
I'll stay here.
Nice. I got jury duty last year for the first time in my life. And we get into the courtroom where they're trying to determine who's who. And does anybody know the defense attorney? Does anyone know the prosecutor? Anybody know the police officer? Anybody know the defendant?
You're out of here.
They're my cousins.
Anybody? I was not related to any of them, but professionally I did know them all. So are you guys here for our staff meeting? Awesome. I'm excited about that. Do you want
you
to join us over
room.
Here, or do you need to be back
nice
over
job.
There, Wendy?
You cleared the room.
Oh, I was going to...
I know they're right. Okay. Okay. About the schedule.
Let's get the schedule done, because it's on the agenda for
CJC,
right now.
You and Dan going.
What's that?
The CJC.
It's the Justice Reinvestment Summit. I've been registered for a while, but we should talk about that whole week, honestly. Okay, so are we starting today's calendar, or are we looking at something specific?
Yeah, just the only discrepancy would be the 23rd, because Dan's going to Curry County, and you got subpoenaed. So I don't know if you wanted to make that a night meeting, or maybe turn it into a Thursday weekly business session.
What's on the agenda? Do you know yet?
No.
Nothing. Okay.
We won't know.
Until next week. Oh, I can't wait to get over there to Curry County.
If we need to make it a night meeting, that would accommodate, unless Commissioner Fowler, are you gone on the 23rd?
Nope, I'm available.
However, hold on. You have an Ivy Chamber of Commerce meeting, that's 11 a.m.?
Yep.
And then you are not going to be able to...
Do them both.
Do that and our...
Maybe that it should be a night meeting then.
Well, no, I'm looking at your
I could still do
calendar.
A night meeting, but
you
I see what you...
physically be in Cave Junction and then
no,
Central Point.
Unless I have Larry take
every week.
Me.
And that's recurring every month. Yeah.
What?
That's recurring every month, those two.
Those two?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to...
We've never attended the Ivy Chamber of Commerce
reconcile.
Meeting.
Reconcile? Right.
I've always had a conflict as well.
And it kind of conflicts with the Ivy, yes.
Right.
It does.
It's tight.
They just moved it an hour earlier.
Yeah, I don't think you'll ever be able to get out to the Valley in time for that. But it might be worth inviting the new person to meet with, even if all of us went out
talking
there.
Talking about the new leader, Dave Garcia?
Yes.
The chair?
Yep. Because it was Sonny Moore when I first got in, and now it's Dave. So it just changes with local business owners.
Right.
There are a lot of times when our weekly business session isn't more than a half an hour, then you'd be able to get out there really by 11.
Can't make it back over to Medford for RVCOG.
We never know until the Thursday before the weekly business session what the next week's agenda is. But it depends on if are you going to attend RVCOG.
So you're taking over Robie Island Council of Governments for me?
I believe so, sir.
Thank you, Darren.
You're welcome.
I would like to...
You're going
to
miss him? Is that what
I'm
going to
miss that sack lunch? You don't believe I'm going to miss
one other lunch. Thing with that comment of RVCOG.
Right.
Julie did have something in her letter that said we don't utilize them. It might be worth finding out, well, what would we utilize them for beyond food and friends? So I don't know what... you and Julie can vet that further, right. But I noticed that is a sentence in her thing.
Okay.
In the 2 years I've been going over there, I haven't seen a whole bunch. I think Food and Friends is basically the project of the project. And they, you know, they have presenters that come in and present things that, like, for instance, the Shake Alert and things of that sort that came out of the
right.
That came to both, you know, that Roy and I both felt important to bring over here.
What's our membership to them? Is that a...
Which one?
Contract, RVCOG, we pay in?
I think we do the minimum, right? Or do we not
so.
Do... It would be worth finding out.
Yeah.
Michael Cavallaro, the only project we've really been working with him on is the Food and Friends, which, from what I understand from the paper, when they got into the details, the costs doubled.
Well, they found they had an inspection. Now, how you get this far along and then have a dry run inspection, I don't know. But all of a sudden, they found $240,000-something worth of damage with a dry rot problem in there. So they've set up a GoFundMe page, and hopefully they've tapped every foundation and philanthropic organization to just barely get where they're at. But to Michael's defense, this was the Pat Foley thing. Pat, you know, Pat was so dynamic in Council of Government,
yeah.
She had just stuff, you know, she had those marbles rolling where she wanted them to roll, and then she passed away, you know, untimely death, and Michael was stuck
figuring out what's left.
Picking up the bases.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're still struggling a little bit over there, but I think they've got good strong members, you know, with Bob Stosser going there and, you know, there's just an awful lot of people that are in there that I think are pretty good heads in the game.
Well, you can still go if you want.
He'll be encouraged.
The record's no, I'm smiling.
What about a 4 p.m. meeting, weekly business session, if you want to do it at 5:30?
Beg your pardon?
A 4 p.m. weekly business session that day?
We
it's
always hear that we don't do it at time that people who work can get there.
We could do it at 5:30. That's fine.
Is there... Is that the city council meeting? Not that it matters. No, it wouldn't.
Okay,
be.
We're on the 23rd. Right.
This is
back.
The 23rd is the 4th.
I'll be back here. Probably be back here closer to 4. It's
your meeting's at 10.
3-hour drive time. So yeah, I'll be back by 3.
So my recommendation is, if we're going to do an evening meeting, let's do a consistent evening meeting time.
5:30 a.m.
For the sake of not confusing the public anymore.
I'm with you.
If we do 5:30 meetings in the evening, that's...
It's 5:30.
Okay.
And also, there's the purpose of the evening meeting is so that people at work can get there. And
right,
we move
right.
It to 4, you haven't done that.
Sounds good. And then she disappeared.
Okay, she'll fix it on your calendar, though, so you don't have to change anything on your phone.
Appreciate it. I'm just looking around.
Okay. And then on the 31st, Dan's also going to Coos County to meet with them.
You don't have me down on the 23rd, do you, for the evening meeting, do you?
He can be back. We should make him do it.
Thank you. Okay, now we're going to, the 30th?
The 31st, you're going over here.
31st, I'll be in Coos on that. And that's just a admin.
Yeah. Okay, so I wanted to talk about the 11th of February, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th.
All right, before we go there, can we go to the 29th that week?
Sure.
So it'll be first on the 28th of January is our joint meeting with City Council, the workshop, the city-county workshop. And then the next day is CAJO. My recommendation, it'd be all three of us starting off the year. No departments this time.
Sounds good.
For CAJO?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
And then
and then we have a general discussion. Is it right after K-Jones when the mayor and...
They come on the fourth Tuesday of the month, which this month we have five Tuesdays, so therefore...
I always thought it was right after the reason.
It was always before K-Jo, but K-Jo is the last Tuesday of the month, I guess. Why K-Jo is not the fourth Tuesday of the month? But the city council meeting is the week before. I should point out that I've been invited. I need it. The CDC
speak.
Is having a focus group on the Women's Crisis Support Team WINGS program, the prevention program that we use marijuana dollars to expand into all the county schools. It was in the city, we pay for it, and we expanded to the county. They're looking at our model of what we're doing here as a model they can do statewide. And I've been invited to attend a focus group on that day on the 22nd, which will mean I can't attend the city-county workshop meeting on the 22nd.
We can wrangle them.
I know you two are very skilled at that, but I just wanted you to know what it is or why I would miss.
Yeah, I think that's important, especially if the state wants to come alongside Josephine County if they can keep up.
It's actually the feds, the CDC or the federal CDC that wants to see what we're doing so they can implement it statewide in Oregon. But, okay, so the 29th K-Jo would be us all. Okay, so you wanted to go ahead to February... Oh, the youth tree plant, who's forestry now? Can we get clarification of expectation of which days we're going, how long that time frame is?
For the tree planting?
Yeah, I have it listed on my calendar as February 7th, 8th, and 9th. And I don't know that, are we expected to go all 3 days? Are we, what's the time frame of our involvement? I've never been, so.
I don't think we've ever gone out there and helped plant trees, if that's what you're asking.
Well, that's what I'm asking is, what is the expectation of what our participation is?
I'll find out from...
Or maybe one of us per day if it is 3 days or something.
Well, I think it's voluntary. I don't think any of us went to the tree plant in the last couple of years.
So so I'm just...
But it's...
It'd be nice to know what the expectation is.
They want the trees to live. You don't want me to plant them. I'm not, I have a green thumb.
Okay, so the week of February 10th through 16th is... Monday is the AOC day. Once a session... A long session. They do a day, which is County Day at the Capitol, and they're doing it on Tuesday the 12th. So the idea is that any of us that can hold over from Monday to Tuesday and then be at the Capitol and...
Oh.
Is that AOC then? Is that Monday? 14th?
All right, so we're looking at Monday the 11th. February 11th is AOC Day. With steering committees and such.
So stay over Tuesday.
So you'd stay over Tuesday, and AOC is hosting on the 12th AOC Day at the Capitol, which essentially you're over there.
County Day at the Capitol.
County Day at the Capitol. Yeah, but it's AOC, County Day at the Capitol. And so you go around, meet different legislators, and AOC kind of coordinates with topics and various different things. And
it came up yesterday with Matt and I were talking.
Yep. So that'll be a big day for us to be.
Well, yeah, and that's good timing.
Yes, it obviously. Is perfect timing.
And it goes right into the Justice Reinvestment Summit, which, generally speaking, so I've been registered for a while. The CJC pays for it. I need to verify registration on 13th. I think I need to see about re-registering to get added to the Behavioral Health Justice Reinvestment Day on the 13th.
So I'm Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at the Capitol.
No, it's all week.
Huh?
It's all week.
All week.
Justice Reinvestment, if you go, it's all week, that you would be there. And I also would be there all week.
I have County College that week.
And it'll be in Salem. And they will bring you over to the Capitol to see... So they'll be in Salem that day to kind of...
So I'm not coming home that week? Is that what you're saying? Or 13th?
Well, technically you can come home Monday unless you want to stay for Tuesday. And then you would be back on Thursday and go home on Saturday. Or
so we'd be canceling the business session.
Correct.
Obviously. All the meetings that week.
The Justice Reinvestment Summit started 2 years ago, and the judges, the DAs, community correction directors, sheriffs, basically all the LIPSIC representatives go and have different topics. So I understand Nate asked you to go to get an understanding of committee to corrections in a bigger way, I guess. It's your call. And I don't know what the numbers are from CJC as far as if there's, I mean, I don't think they say no to anybody. It's just a matter of where they house you. So, but you probably want to get registered right away if you want to go.
Is she, if she's going, do you want to go? That's, I didn't know we needed to talk about
that's,
that.
I'll talk to Nate about it. That's, I'm going to rely on him if he thinks it's
well,
important.
Well, I probably will come home Tuesday and Wednesday, and I can hit so ready.
Okay.
And if you're going to be out of town all week, I could be on call if you'd like.
Oh, yeah, we haven't even talked about on call yet this year.
Because I'll be here at least more.
So essentially, this time of year, on call, we don't get a lot of calls.
Right.
A snowstorm.
We are going to have a snowstorm, we hope. We need some snow.
I hear Northern California is getting one right now, yeah. But it's going to miss us. But
can't we schedule one?
Any recommendations of on-call duties for Commissioner Fowler?
No, other than I think, like I said, just make sure you understand that we'll have to get you trained in on what it means to be on call and when you're going to call a snow day and, you know, who you get in touch with. I have no idea. If it snows, I just sit there and go, whoops, I get, you know, I need a list of phone people, a list of phone contacts you're supposed to make by 5 in the morning. Because if you don't make it by 5 o'clock in the morning, the courts are in and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So if you wake up at 6 in the morning and you haven't made that decision, we're open.
So I should say that Sarah Rubrics created a group on an app. Was it WhatsApp?
Yes.
I'm on there, but I don't know if the other commissioners are. Because. What's that?
They are.
Okay, so it may be that you want to download the WhatsApp because it gives you a group of discussion.
I have another phone. I don't know if it...
And she called it the County Inclement Weather Group. I honestly don't know who everybody is in the group because there's phone numbers I don't recognize. But it has, like, our PIO. I assume you're there, Wendy, since you saw... Let's see. I don't know even how to tell who's in the group.
Should we schedule that for a future meeting, that what the on-call means?
Sure. I think that's a great idea.
To solidify the policies inside of there?
In the old days, you called KJO Radio, and they put it out on their deal, and everybody was listening to KJO as they were making breakfast. And nowadays, there's 15 different things you have to do, and if somebody doesn't get it, because it wasn't on their app and Facebook page and their, well, you should have messengered me instead of doing this, that, and the other thing. And there's it just...
It would be nice to have a procedure in place.
So looking at the list, it's got Sarah Rubrecht. It's got Dave Rubrecht. Dave is in charge of
Dave's
the operations at Public Works. It's got Jason P. Roberts.
He goes out at Azalea Drive, and if it's snowing, if there's 10 inches on Azalea Drive, that means there's 6 in Wilderville. He's got a... criteria that he goes through.
And then Mike Weber is on there, Ricky Perrin, Rob Brandis, Trina Swaja from Courts, Wendy's on there, and then there's 3 phone numbers I don't know.
Well, that group would, of course, be invaluable in making that decision.
Yeah, but generally it's Rob, you, and Trina, and then we do notifications.
Right.
So, and Sarah is the notification. I don't know who does it on. What's the app we notify employees on? Wendy, is it you?
Yeah, we could all do it.
Okay. So anyhow, since Sarah created this group, there's been no discussion about how it works or any testing on it. So,
Yeah, let's have her present something on.
Or maybe just training.
Yep.
On it.
Training.
So. Okay. Is there anything else on our calendars that we need to look at for the next month? We haven't talked about elected officials' luncheons yet. It used to be that all the elected officials in the county, including all 3 commissioners and legal counsel, DA, assessor, surveyor, and treasurer, would go to lunch once a month just as an opportunity to check in, say, hey, the thought was that if you build the relationships, you'll work better together. They would be intentional not to talk about county business per se, so that there's no decisions being made. From what I understand, when Wally became legal counsel, they changed the format, so instead of it being all three commissioners, it's just one now. We rotate, but it's always the third Monday of the month, and this month, that's a holiday. Next month, that's a holiday. So they were looking at switching up the days. We're not available on the days they're switching it to because that's the day of the city county workshop on the 28th. But February, it will also be a conflict. So just as a heads up.
Well, it's just one that we don't attend. The rest of them can attend.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like because we're not there, the whole thing crumbles, because I think they do a pretty good job at the elected officials luncheon. And Connie and Rihanna, they always show up.
It does supposedly rotate between elected official on who plans the location. It kind of coordinates. I'm not
just appeared on there.
Oh, yeah, just put it on there.
I swear.
We'll get a schedule of whose turn. That's just the generic dance turn. We could probably put you in there.
And honestly, it's all flexible. Eve's got the master list of who's when and whose turn it is to pick each month. We should coordinate that whenever it's the turn of whichever commissioner is not the opposite of when they're picking. You know, that
the key to it is to get it out before 11 o'clock on Monday, that where it is and what you're having for lunch and whatnot. So.
Okay. Anything else on calendars? Any questions on calendars?
The only thing is like I said, I had a conversation with Rob Bovet yesterday, and we kind of strategized about the law enforcement
reinvestment
stability.
Stability Act, Law Enforcement Stability Act, and what it was going to entail and what my position is in it. And he's going to set up numerous meetings in Salem that I'll have to go to, and I promised him that no matter what it was here, that I would drop it and go, because this is going to be, we need the momentum and we need input from this county more than any of them, because we're the ones who kind of started this ball rolling. So I promised him that no matter what it was, I would just pick up and go, and it means meetings with, we've got, he's trying to run it through House Revenue first, and if we can get through House Revenue, then it's at least got a shot. So we're working really hard on lobbying the House Revenue, and he says he and Alex up there out of Lane County are both lobbying heavily towards it, but it says your input as a county official is probably very much needed. So I promised him I'd go. So no matter what that is says up there, if I say I'm gone, I'm gone, and we'll just have to deal with it.
It's worth it.
All I am is a commissioner. I'm not a vice chair or chair, so that frees me up to head north, and that's exactly the way I want it. So
I think it's appropriate and timely.
That is true. I think this is very important, very, very important. Hopefully, the planets all line up. And the moon's on the outhouse door. You should be able to make it. Okay?
Sure.
Are we done with calendar?
okay.
Just at the end of February, I have a vacation planned. I don't know if you saw that.
I do. We're not into April, but I have a vacation planned in April for a couple of weeks, but I'll get you the exact dates on that. I'll find out when the drag strip is open in Charlotte, North
Mine's
Carolina.
The end of the month and the 1st of March.
One thing I would, I don't know if you guys realize, but when a committee meeting or appointment is copied from one calendar to another, it makes it not possible for us to edit it in any way on our own phones and calendars. I had one the other day that said the owner was Cheryl Walker, and I needed to edit it, and I can't. I either, in order to delete, I have the option of deleting the entire series or that current one, but I can't edit it in any fashion. And so at some point, it'd almost be nice to have them start over, that it's not past commissioners that are the owner of appointments. And I don't know the right answer, but it's sometimes frustrating that we can't edit them because of how they're put on our calendars. And if I find another one, I'll try to remember and send it to you so you can see an example of what I'm talking about. All right, so we've reviewed the board's calendar. And it says next on our agenda to review advisory board meetings in process.
And Trish has a whole folder she's going to share with you.
So, and then the next item is additional subject matters from commissioners, but I would invite you all up so we can kind of do the whole staff review process together. So, I'm going to, Sean, we have talked about on Tuesday mornings having a weekly time for our staff to talk about office procedures, just how things are going in general. As we have three commissioners that are newly working together, our staff is often asked for, can we get you all in one room and talk about things together? And it wasn't welcomed in the past, and we really want to try to be intentional that as an office we're all on the same page and have that opportunity. So I'm going to ask that we put it on our weekly calendar, unless you guys object, that just kind of says staff office review. I don't know what we want to call it, but it's basically a staff meeting of our BCC staff. And gives us a chance. So I know one of the things that the advisory board meetings is not a high priority of how it's been done. Even as liaison roles, we've had that conversation with past board, but not this board yet, of what is our expectation of each other. As Commissioner DeYoung, a liaison to Public Works, what does that mean? So complaints come to you initially. You meet with department head however often you'd establish, but the reporting back to the full board or the full board having an understanding of what all the is going on at that department, we've never really defined. And then there's those issues of what in that liaison role, then we're also assigned to advisory boards. And we've never talked about if we can't go, do we just let you guys know we're not going to go? I mean, what's that process? So if you can't make an advisory board, something comes up at the last minute or you're ill or it's a conflict with something else, is the expectation that somebody else fills in or that we just are absent at that meeting? And then there's the lovely process of our minutes that come from the advisory board meetings that for some reason require all of us to sign them and approve them. But what's actually going on right now is as soon as they're received, the staff picks a date and puts them in the journal and they're posted. And we approve them in the weekly business session, but if you actually look at the minutes, none of us have reviewed them. Right? Is that a fair summary? So one thing that used to happen is in the weekly staff meetings, staff would bring the things. We would go through and sign them.
The minutes,
yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. The pack is so thick right now because they haven't been reviewed in a while. The other thing is, how do you review them when... I mean, essentially, right. You're just acknowledging that you received them and read them,
I think,
right?
It's acknowledging that they've come to the commissioner's office. It doesn't mean that we've all reviewed them thoroughly. Mm-hmm. They're to be referred to if we need to. But... I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about these subjects individually.
I'm just trying to give you some background. What do you guys think? You brought the pile to us, and as the ones that have been watching us leading into this new board, what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay, so a few different ideas would be that I have heard, and since I'm like dealing with all the advisory boards, I guess I'll just tell you some ideas that have been thrown around by Ricky and Wendy of what they wanted to do in the past and things that may work. So one thing could be starting now, because you can't really sign any of the old ones that happened in 2018.
He can. Although, we were expected to when we came in.
Oh, okay.
Because they're not approving or reviewing anything. They're acknowledging.
Okay. So one thing that Wendy and I were talking about, I think, earlier this morning, is that maybe all of the old ones at these staff meetings, maybe I can be prepared and just kind of review them and give you a rundown of what they said, if you guys would like, and then you can sign them. But maybe from here on out,
we have, let's say that at the general discussions, we have a quarterly update from Rob Brandis, okay? And he's in charge of bikeways and pathways.
And RV
right?
Act.
And maybe he just brings those 2 or 3 months since the last time he's seen you, and he says, yada, 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 this is what happened at this meeting. And then you guys are, you're all kind of caught up on maybe what's happened from the mouth of someone who's directly involved.
That could answer questions.
That could answer mm-hmm. any questions. And then you can sign them at those general discussions when they're bringing their quarterly updates. That's one idea that has been thrown around from here on out. Now, the past ones we still need to get through probably during the staff meetings.
One of the things that I think is important about this and that we're doing is we have people that are outside the building that are saying, you're so far behind on your minutes and so on and so forth. We get beat up regularly by that. So we just need to get it up to speed. And I think the quarterly, you're saying like Rob Brandis bringing, when he does his quarterly report,
when he does the minutes of the public meeting,
public works and what he's involved in, he brings that to the table at that time.
Except
so you're always
the
within the
it.
Same quarter.
You're always within the same quarter. He's aware of what's happened. It's not that far back. It doesn't have
right.
to be
yeah.
terribly detailed.
It's three meetings, maybe.
Yeah. Yes, and yeah. just to give you the overview, this yeah. is what the board's talking about and the direction we're supposed to go, because they are supposed to be advising you on what's best for that group. But it hasn't been, that idea wasn't even received before. So that to me seemed like the best way to tick away at that little by little and let, and it almost requires the director to be more involved than they
correct.
Maybe would otherwise be. So it seemed
it
like
puts a mandate on him to mm-hmm. be current so mm-hmm. that he doesn't let it get behind and that's, oh, I gotta go back and do a whole year of these things. No, it's, it's a requirement every quarter.
Well, the only thing that, a couple things that come to mind. Department heads are not the ones that produce the minutes. Or email them out, so they may not even be aware of them. They may or may not. They also, some of those departments are part of regional groups, so therefore aren't the ones responsible producing the minutes. They might be able to give an update if you bring up those topics, but what comes to mind is MPO, RV Act. So yeah, those are and bikeways, that is that department. But what happens when it's Lipsick? And that's sheriff, DA, juvenile, public health, mental health.
Then maybe the liaison, the Lipsick, needs to bring in, be responsible with making that report.
There's a staff contact with each one of them, whether it's the director or not. It doesn't necessarily have to be their department. It just makes it easy for department heads when they are involved in those
yeah.
boards.
So mental health advisory board is not any county employee. Lipsick is...
Weber
is not mental health. Mental health is Options of Southern Oregon.
Is McCafferty, right?
Carla McCafferty.
Yeah. Okay.
Which they're a separate, and so the final thing on that thought about the department heads is there are some department heads that actually don't even have any advisory committees.
Which is fine. Great. You guys are off the hook then.
There's no one size fits all.
No, but you would be the contact for the mental health advisory board. So at that point, could you come in here and run through what's been discussed? Very briefly.
Also, it's helpful for them because then they know where you guys are at on those, on anything that you're involved in.
Yeah, I think it's important to your point that that gets the director more involved in that and that increases the value of the committee. But I also think there ought to be a spot on our agenda for like liaison reports where we say, hey, I went to this and I want to tell you guys what happened. Rather than trying to, I know it could fit under matters, but I wanted to be more deliberate, and so that we had a spot where, where we had that point of contact.
One of the things that we've had, it's been an issue a couple times, is that somebody will come in and talk to me about removing a road plug. That's legal, but I got to follow that through legal channels. Well, then they come in and I'm not here, so they go talk to somebody else, and they start the same thing again. And then how do we handle that? I think I'll give you an example. We have one out on Copper Drive, and it's a complaint that came in on Copper Drive. Well, I've researched all that. There's no reason in them going to Commissioner Fowler, and he's starting to research on it. I've got it handled, it's done, I made a decision. I think I need to bring that to the board in case they're caught off guard out on the street, say, you know what? I didn't like the way you handled that Copper Drive thing when actually it was I did it, and that the board would get blamed for it. I think it's at a high time that I would come back and say, this is what happened on Copper Drive. This is what I did. Are you in? And
now you're
honest, informed.
Honest,
this is what we signed on to. This is how
so
I handle it.
So as we filter people, generally, we wouldn't allow somebody to go talk to two of you about the same topic anyway.
But if they catch
you
out
they get
the
a little squirrely and they, you know, oh, no, I don't want to talk about it. And we have had people do that. I'm not talking about that.
And they'll do. They'll jump from commissioner to commissioner to commissioner, and then we get a new kid on the block because it happened to me and it happened to Lily. All of a sudden, this stuff comes from way back. Three, four, or five commissioners ago, and they bring it up again, and they say, well, I need to go, gee, I need to go look at that.
Yeah.
And so we go look at it, another set of eyes, well, you know, sometimes...
Some of that will solve itself, though, when you're reviewing calendars now. So if somebody's going to see up there that you have an appointment with...
Andrea Applegate on New Hope Road.
Then somebody else is...
Well, no, but it is, but it was scheduled on my calendar.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, okay, and... You know, but and okay, good point. So I'm gonna let's throw something else out. See what you guys think. When we first started in here on admin meetings on Thursday was when we got the department updates, and admin meetings on Thursday were the longest meetings that went on and on and on and on. And we asked that those quarterly updates get moved to Tuesdays so admin can just be admin business stuff. I'm concerned that if we add too much on Tuesdays, those are now going to be those indefinite meetings as well. And Tuesdays are already kind of... I like what you said about liaison update. I would rather have us have that conversation in the liaison update from our perspective. And if someone says, I got a question, we can take it back and bring it back. The question is the when. We're not really utilizing the Thursday afternoon general discussion right now. That could be... when we do liaison updates. And one thing comes to mind. Mike Weber has got four committees. His quarterly updates are already long going through his report. You add four advisory board meetings for 3 months each, it's going to be a stinking long meeting. But if we every week have on our agenda liaison updates, we can look at what advisory board meetings have you gone to in the last week. Or I have one tonight.
And it may only be one or two a week.
Correct.
Bring that folder in here.
Yeah.
And I get them emailed to me every week. So I can also, whatever I get for like an entire week, put it in a thing and say, these are the ones that were emailed to me. Like you can address which ones.
Yeah.
If we do it weekly, we can chew it off one bite at a time and eat the elephant. If we do it quarterly, it's going to feel so huge.
I think
we're going to.
If we do it every week, you're ahead of it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And
that
I
really
think even with
the
these,
value of those, the input, they start to feel like there's a stronger connection.
Well, and I'd be happy to go through and say, I wasn't at this meeting, let's read it together real quick, or I was at that meeting, this is kind of what the discussion was, or here was the outcome. For instance, last week was the Animal Advisory Committee, or the week before, they made a recommendation that the ACOs be pulled out of the sheriff's office so that the sheriff can be able to focus on the marijuana task force and the other things. I had called and notified the sheriff that decision was made. He and I had another conversation on Friday. He said, I want you to know this wasn't a bash the sheriff. This was that group fully supports the sheriff and wanted you to be successful in these other things. And we also highlighted these improvements that were made because you have them, call taking, and we still need to address that. So what's the next step? So we as a board need to have that discussion of this was a recommendation out of an advisory board.
So along that very subject, do you give the report, or do I give the report as a liaison to the sheriff's department, which I'm finding about this today?
No, I understand, but I'm liaison to Animal Shelter Advisory, which is public health, and this is, and we haven't had a meeting yet for me to be able to bring up that recommendation was made. My conversation with the sheriff on Friday was, I think that it would be beneficial for Mike Weber, who supervises the shelter side, for Wally Hicks, who's dealing with the reports of the animal stuff, for the sheriff and myself, who have been involved in it the whole time because ACOs were under me before the, you know, to sit down and come up with a plan and bring it back to all of you guys. Because there are pluses and minuses to it being with the sheriff. There's pluses and minuses with it being at public health. And there's things that aren't addressed yet, but I think the four of us, if we got our heads together, can come up with a plan. One of the recommendations was that public health contract with the sheriff for dispatch and call taking, because the shelter doesn't have the staff to do all the call taking. So maybe the ACOs come back under public health, but they pay the sheriff to do the call taking because it's working there. That was an idea that the animal shelter advisory we talked about, but really needing to bring in some people and let's work out these details of what problem does this create by this solution, and are they all dealt with? And we'd like to bring you guys a recommendation that you can get behind versus us just knee-jerk reaction. Let's move them, and then we have all these problems we have to still solve.
There was a concept brought out that the animal control be a standalone department.
And I think that if Weber, who used to supervise, Sheriff, who currently supervises, Wally, who is the connection between all the complaints, and me, came up with and talked about all of that, we can come back with a recommendation. Do they go to this department? Do they do their own department? And I'd like to come back to you guys based on that recommendation. The recommendation of the group was just that ACOs not be under the sheriff's supervision.
Well, it keeps getting thrown around. That poor animal shelter thing just keeps getting thrown from back and forth. This thing's been across the net more times than anything else in the 2 years I've been here. So let's make it its own department. It has its own levy.
Yeah.
It's got everything. It's all there. It's all there. And we can have them.
I'm not interested in hiring a new department head.
Huh?
I don't want to hire an additional department head. That comes with a salary that we may not have in the levy dollars. So can we make a recommendation to you after we look at the whole thing?
Yes.
Yep, as long as you consider that one.
We are.
Consider standalone because, like I said, it gets over here. Well, no, they pick one of that. Nah, that guy has a gun. No, that one doesn't have training. These guys wear badges, but they drive that truck. And it's all over the map. And it's never, ever landed anywhere.
And
so
I
if it's
going
to land, it's going to land.
Should we shut that off?
No.
It doesn't matter.
This is our accountability to the public, regardless of the press chooses to show
up. He got bored with liaison discussions.
Well, we have a liaison to the press.
He was like, okay, yeah, well, I'm going to change it to Thursday at 1:30. That should be good.
Because then
okay, I just struggle with, I sometimes have Thursday meetings.
I know, Thursdays always get canceled.
Because I have other meetings in the lunch hour, usually carrying over, so if 1:30, I mean, it may be that 2 o'clock it does have to work sometimes, but if we can make 1:30, okay, I'll try.
Because if we can make that committee day, or whatever, committee meeting, then, I forgot where it was. I had it all in my house.
You know what, we honestly, we can do it twice a week. We can do a portion of it on Tuesday mornings.
Sure.
We can do a portion on Thursday afternoon.
Just till we get to the folder.
He's raising his hand.
Yes.
I got it. Because then we could also talk about absences at that time and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it in a couple of weeks. Could you go? And have it, because I like the idea of absence covering when possible. Because not only does that help us be better commissioners, but it also keeps the committee feeling like they're being attended to.
Can we put it on the agenda on both Tuesday mornings and Thursday afternoons?
Yeah,
because one thing that will happen is sometimes you need to know at the beginning of the week, or
as long as it's noticed,
we don't have to do it.
Yeah.
But it is noticed. I like the fact that every time I go to like an airport board meeting, they go, okay, who's going to take the minutes? I think I will. And it's, you know, they're pretty lax in that. This is going to put them on notice that the minutes need to be up to date. But they need to get them over to you. Done deal. We get them in the record. We get them signed. And the folks out there, when they come in, you don't have the minutes. They're airport board meetings. So, yes, we do. It's right here. All been approved.
I think it'll help us also come up with what's the deadline of getting the minutes out? The minutes need to be reported
more than
a day before the next meeting.
Yeah.
The agendas need to be out more than a day before the next meeting. And with the new website, the goal is that every advisory board meetings and agendas are actually posted there, and so that the public can see what's going on at those meetings as well, and at enough notice that they can attend if they want to. They're all public meetings. But I think if we have the discussions on Tuesdays and Thursdays as needed, as long as we're talking about it every week and we make time, we not only will help get through that, it'll mean that all three of us...
Dax will be this big every week. Like a couple.
Right. It'll be up to date.
You mean this big every week.
I mean, like, it'll be like 2 or 3 meetings, maybe.
Right.
Great. Lily, let me throw something out there. We were asking all of the, I guess, the staff connection for advisory boards to give us an annual update for the whole board.
I don't think those have been looked at for a couple years. It's mm-hmm. it's something we're asking, and we give them a deadline, and they get it in. Some of them were surprised last year. When did this start? When have yeah. we ever done this? They're putting all this work in, and they're getting everybody this information. Nobody looked at it. It's a waste of time, right. unless you're going to start looking at it. Well, but just considering the things that have been historically requested.
Yeah. So the reason of it, the purpose, is it's supposed to drive us before the budget.
Right, which would be before goal setting, when if that becomes a thing, we could invite the committees in like we did as reports.
Before we get there, we're just asking yeah. them to give us reports.
Right.
We're
but
not,
it's the same thing.
I just want to point yet. Out yeah. that it's yeah. a lot for somebody to
complete
and submit for no one to look at it. So yep. just maybe be mindful of the end of year, which is supposed to be sent out. I think it's due February or something.
How does it work? I'm just curious about logistics, and it might be worth you, one of you, following it up with Pat at Legal to see. But the advisory groups themselves approve minutes from previous time, and they try to make amendments. Then we get them. I've found errors numerous times. And
like LILLY?
Well, yes. I'm not sure who that is.
I tried to correct
it. Well, my subpoena I just got is for somebody named LILLY, and I'm not sure who that is either. But my name's spelled LILY. Just
yeah. So that way in my phone.
Two F's in Josephine.
But
just let fine. You know.
If they've already approved them and we find stuff, it doesn't get back to that board that we found stuff. And matter of fact, I've seen some where I'm reading through the minutes and I'm talking and doing different stuff and they don't have me in as attendance. Or they have, you know, it's just not always consistent and the groups don't always catch that. So
right,
what are we reading them for?
Editing, again, it's just supposed to be about
acknowledging
receipt. And I don't think we're looking for Scrivener's errors. And obviously if Lily is making comments, then Lily's there. And that was just an error.
Yeah.
And I understand attendance was an issue for someone. But that I don't think is even the point. I think it's just that you guys are getting the general idea about what the board is for, and you're processing through their suggestions.
So we're not checking them to approve them. We're checking them to have the information that the advisory boards are actually advising the full board. Correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Secondly, if you did find something that was really crazy and you're like, that is completely wrong, I mean, I think something that would be okay to do would be, like, whatever you need to fix.
Highlight.
Put your initial, and then when you sign it, it's initial that, like, this is what I'm approving.
Okay.
It's like that, like, Lily Morgan. Mm-hmm. You can write it in if they don't put you in there.
Does it say that we're approving?
No, that's what I was just going to say, the language. It says reviewed by the board.
Okay.
That's it. You're not...
Cool.
You're not saying anything is correct or incorrect or anything.
Well, one of the concerns that I have is that the journal says they're reviewed by a such and such a date, and obviously we haven't. But now those dates can actually be real.
Yes, and that was happening because we could not get two signatures on these things. And we're talking like a year of minutes. Well, we can't not put the journal out. So that's the complaint, is that the journal wasn't getting filed.
Yeah.
And this was the hang-up. So we were okay, fine. They're all going to be signed on this date. And there was no other way to get around it. We did everything we knew how to do to get signatures to happen. And
well, let's. What do you think about these? Just trying to get them passed around and let's just get through them.
Let's just get through them.
Like
and
today?
Then,
yep.
Well, just, I mean.
Or every
Over the
Tuesday.
Next couple days.
Yeah.
We'll get them.
Every Tuesday and Thursday.
If our wrists get tired.
Every Tuesday and Thursday.
Let's start out with the Tuesday and Thursday thing.
Okay.
But let's not take it any farther than that.
Okay.
Let's do this. This is like code enforcement. That's 700 complaints that we're following up on. Let's start with five.
Okay.
And finish five. So we've got a Tuesday, Thursday thing. And then we'll get these all signed. And then we're going to hopefully validate it never happens again. But, you know, to go through those, I've watched Commissioner Morgan work the very first meeting at City Council. We were looking through the minutes, and she raised her hand, and they said, yes. The word adjacent is misspelled under line 14, and all that did, she just picked out. She'd go till she found a typographical error or a comma in the wrong spot and everything, but you know what that put the department
She's
head? Bingo. That let the department head and staff know that somebody's watching the game. brilliant.
Yep.
I've used that a couple times. I just skipped through. Did everybody read that?
Well, it was an ORS. I had someone here last year ask me the same thing. We were in a meeting with legal, and the ORS, so I look it up. I said, well, is this supposed to be that because the ORS this or that? And she goes, how did you even find that?
I'm like, yeah, exactly.
And honestly, it came
back.
You
were drawn to it.
You know where I learned it? In church. Because I was taught when a pastor quotes a Bible verse, don't trust him.
Look
it up yourself and see what the actual verse says to see if he's remembering correctly.
They sound like geniuses.
And then go find another pastor.
So,
can I make a suggestion? 27 churches in our town.
Exactly.
Keep looking.
If you're going to go through it that way, you do what you want, but my suggestion would be go through all of the Airport Advisory Board for Illinois Valley at one time so you can see the progression of the group instead of trying to remember, was it IV that said that or was it GP or... But chip through one full board at a time and get caught up.
Right, and it shows you, because they'll put off to the next meeting a decision on the next meeting.
Rather than the date.
You'd have a story rather than trying to memorize
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So as we start...
That's a good point.
And honestly, there's no reason why you couldn't hand him IV Airport Board, hand me Animal Shelter or something else like that. We can do a quick... These are five meetings. Yeah. This one. Here's the differences. This is the big stuff you need to know and do the highlights.
Because there's probably not a lot of progression made each time that they're coming together. You could probably encapsulate that.
Most of the minutes are really no longer than a page. Yeah, and it's like a few lines.
Summary.
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, and then there's some that are very detailed. You'll find that out. I have one question about...
Oh.
We're right in the middle of a meeting, so we're not available. I guess the answer is no, not yet, but we'll be in a minute.
10 or 15 minutes, sir.
Okay, really quick. Sorry, that threw me off.
Anybody home?
So then my question is when I am getting applications for advisory boards, and this one is for 4-H, which I already talked to Lily about, but for 4-H, all of you guys are... There's not one liaison, right? And the budget committee as well.
The chair is the primary on the list, I think.
Okay, so, but what do you guys want me to bring, since we're going to be setting aside some time for advisory boards and general discussions, do you guys want me to bring any new applications I get to those meetings and presenting them to you? Or do you want me to just email them to you like I have been?
So
sometimes those get lost, I feel.
They do, and here's something that came up last week. So I've been concerned with what the role of the Mental Health Advisory Board is and local mental health authority of the county, and I learned I'm not alone in that through an AOC meeting. But generally speaking, with liaisons, the liaison either says, yay, move it forward, or if there's a whole bunch, we all vote on them. We don't have a standard way of doing it. But I talked to Carla McCafferty yesterday, and she said, well, they get those and historically, they get the applications, and they make a recommendation of who we approve or not approve. And I'm like, I said, I don't know that I want that, because I don't want any board.
It's in some of the bylaws I saw.
Well, that's what we need. The question really needs to go, what does the bylaws say? Because I don't want any board blocking somebody because they don't like... I mean, part of us putting people on is that there's a variety of representation.
And the advisory board probably has a better thumb on who they can work with rather than us.
Yes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's what you want.
But it's got to come to us anyway.
So...
I have an advisory board if you
can't believe
them.
We need to see what each advisory board bylaws say as far as what the process of an application is, because everyone may be different.
Okay.
And we have to follow what the bylaws say for each one.
Yeah.
If they don't say anything, if we go through and we look at how membership is decided and they're all the same, then we can come up with a procedure that we all do. But if this one's this, this one's that. The other thing is I do know that, like, there's some... that they say the city provides a rep. Well, then we put them in our system with an expiration or this and that. Why? The city is who says who's going.
Well, and I don't even have any contact information for any of those people. A lot of times, either, like, on my things, I don't have. So I guess it doesn't.
Well, we don't appoint the city position.
No, but we can contact the city and say we need contact information for this person that you guys have appointed. Or
we can. I've done that.
Okay.
I would just like to see that we're consistent in how we're doing it. Mm-hmm.
even the selection process, it used to be you voted. Everybody looked through these and decided who was qualified, and you gave numbers, and those numbers were added up, and that decided who it was. That does not happen now. It's been forwarded to the liaison and forwarded to the staff contact, and they were able to go through and say, yeah, we like this person, appoint it. And we, you know, it would be discussed here briefly, but it wasn't through necessarily a point system, which I think levels the playing field, which is what you were talking about.
It doesn't. The other thing is, well, they did that for a couple of the positions, but then there's others. Do you bring the people in for interviews? Do you? And
we could spend, with all the advisory boards we have and panels, that's all we'd be doing is sitting in here interviewing people forever and ever.
And over at the city, we interviewed commission members because they're decision bodies, but not committee advisory members. Right.
And,
to make that easier.
And what Carla said they have traditionally done, which I wasn't aware of because they've had no movement in that committee since I've been on it practically. I think only one person's new. They said they made a recommendation, and if they needed, they would interview the individual applicant, and if needed, the chair could interview a second time, and then they make a recommendation to the board. That's the only committee I've heard that does it that way. I don't know what we should do, but I think the first step is to look at what the bylaws say we're supposed to do.
And try and level those.
And Fairgrounds got a different one because we have to pay a bond for Fair Board members. There's an actual process that, I mean...
There's liability there?
There is, and it would be good for you to read up on the ORS on the Fair Boards and the authorities of the differences of the county and the Fair Boards and all that other kind of stuff because it's different. Even he's liaison, but there's different laws.
Right.
But the Planning Commission, the Fair Board, do we have any other that are bodies that vote on things in that way?
The Planning Commission. I don't know if there's another commission.
Well, I think there's a lot of them that we've just never reviewed. What's the purpose of each of them? Maybe that's something that we do in our liaison reports.
That is something that Simon had talked about in the past about doing an efficacy review.
Maybe we could do one a week, one a meeting for a while until we get a look at some of those bylaws.
Well, in us reviewing two of the applicants last week on mental health advisory, we realized that the resolution that approved the person to be on it, but on our list they were in the wrong line. And so it actually changed who we were recruiting for. I should bring up, we don't have a budget committee alternate, but we're advertising for one.
So there was a budget in 2005, I actually looked this up this morning, resolution 0520, the alternate was put in, and then Wendy emailed me, hey, I think that that was maybe dissolved, so I went through every year since 2005 till right now, and I have not found an order that it has been dissolved.
But state law doesn't allow for one. So it might be something we put on the...
So I don't know what you guys want me to do with that, but that's just the information I have.
Okay.
So I'm fine with whatever.
It'll give us a chance to actually look at all our advisory boards, and are we familiar with... Because there are boards.
Okay, we're still... Oh, by the way, and I think the staff has got plenty of things to work on. Let's start with four or five.
Easier. Yep.
Let's start with four or five. I know we want to do it all at once, but it's not going to happen all at once and happen effectively. So let's start with this pile right there.
And we can have further discussions on this.
And then we'll take them one or two at a time and write down all of our concerns as to what we need to do and how we need to do it. Gosh, on Friday, you've popped up with 30 of them in the last 21 and a half minutes.
It's been on my mind for 2 years.
I know it has. Then all you couldn't wait to get chairman and bring all this up, and that's great. But let's make a list on it, and we'll just start on that list. But to just bombard staff with all these changes and look up bylaws and so on and so forth, they're not going to get any of it done with any kind of efficacy.
We could do one a month or one a week on the reviewing those mission statements and just look at one group and go, hey, is this one high functioning? Are the people showing up? Are we having trouble recruiting or whatever? So that we have a better understanding of each community, or for myself, selfishly.
Need the most people and see what's going on here. Like, there's some that I never get.
They do not get filled. They've been
that are the farthest afield and bring them back into the fold.
Either lower the number of members or something.
Right, something's got... They're kind of risking that no quorum type of deal.
Any...
Okay.
So it sounds like you guys have kind of made some assignments of different tasks and natural flow of things in the office since you guys came on.
I mean, I do advisory boards.
Okay.
Period.
And
she's going to get Nicole up to speed.
Yeah,
I thought
she's
going to
get me.
Just because you have good questions.
Well, I have to get myself up to speed, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a huge project. All of us learn everything all at once. It was really disjointed. And so Trish has been doing, like, advisory boards. I've been doing travel expenses and peak. You know what I mean? We've kind of broken it up, but I think we'll eventually all know how to do
cross-train.
It all. But, yeah, I think we're trying to get solid on one thing before we...
Perfect.
In 6 months, we're going to switch all
out.
Make sure we do one thing right before we do everything.
Yeah.
Well, I just have to say thank you guys for your flexibility, because I know that we all have different opinions. We all have different process of things. And my hope is that we are receptive to what we're hearing from. We need to be getting the feedback from you guys on if things are working or not.
Yeah. And this is a great forum for that, this new meeting, to make sure there's no misperceptions.
Well, and you guys are a valued part of our team, so we have to give you an avenue that actually has an outcome, and we also may have things that we need to bring back. You know, you guys probably don't know that when I'm trying to edit something on my phone or that I can't because of the ownership.
Trish just learned that you could actually
I didn't know you could copy it. I can edit anything I ever do. You can make a new meeting for every single person on every single calendar.
As we sit and laugh.
We were just copying it. I was like, how do you do that?
So where do I submit my letter to the editor?
I'm sorry, what?
You're editing.
Okay, so really quickly, just for me, so I know how to move forward from here on out, then we're just going to take maybe a stack or so each meeting, like maybe one paperclip full, where you guys can...
Do the full board. You're going to take all of the animal
advisory. I know, that's what I'm saying. Yes, that's each paperclip, because she already...
Put them into the different categories, you know, animal shelter or Ivy airports, and you give both airports to me at the same time, it's fine, because their meetings are fairly...
And then for Darren,
where
is he, if he's signing these, where is he signing these?
He can't sign these yet, because these were like inputted into our journal August 15th, 2018, so we'll just put abstinent signing for Simon, and then just for... Just for him to review, get him up to speed.
That works.
So, okay, so for anything that he wasn't here for or has already been journaled...
We'll just abstinent signing for Simon.
You guys can sign.
But I still want my time to look at them.
Yeah, you can absolutely look at them.
Okay.
Smart.
And then...
Or should Trish read them and just give you a brief overview?
I don't process well with somebody else reading to me.
Well, even when you guys have discussions that there's not a history on, like we're trying to take minutes in meetings like that, we are absolutely lost and come out and go, I have no idea what they're talking about. And it would feel a lot like
Quite honestly, it will help Commissioner Fowler get up to speed on what's going on in those other ones if he had to read through and give a briefing on. This looks like this is what the discussion was. I mean, that's what we do when we read them. But it would also, for your liaison roles, give you an idea of what you're coming into.
Right, and give me an opportunity to see all of them, not just the ones I'm liaison to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
But if we make you give the report on yours, you know, just kidding.
Good luck with that.
And then these, as I get them, I will just look at that personal committee or advisory board, look at the bylaws, and then let you guys know what's happening.
Right.
Well, and I'm going to, when I start introducing myself to these committees that I'm liaison to, I'm going to be looking at that, looking at the bylaws and at the mission and at the makeup and asking him, hey, how are we doing?
Yeah,
that'll be part of my bring back.
That'd be a good opportunity for you to let them know what your expectations are as their liaison.
Which will be pretty green at the first day, eventually.
I can go back to the rate sheet, rate them.
Well, and I mean, do we want advisory boards advising on membership? Versus us?
I think so.
It seems like they should have some kind of input because they are working together.
We don't have to listen to them, but yeah.
Well, they should. An advisory board member could say, hey, this is a guy, and their own personal experience with a guy might be just, I can't work with a guy. I'd like to have her, rather than us saying, yep, he's a great guy, passes muster here, and passes background check, he's your boy.
Is it the chair or is it the full board? If you're going to submit that application, minus perhaps their address and phone number and allow them to look through their history and as a full board, or is it just the chair?
My concern with you bringing the applications to this meeting, and we know we're doing it, it probably should be an agenda item, but it also means their application becomes public record, and should their addresses and phone numbers be public record? I don't know what's required for that.
You'd want to block that out if you're going to put it in the public record.
Okay, let's start with, if an application comes in, bring the bylaws for that group. Okay. And let's just take them one at a time until we figure out where each of them are. And we're going to do updates each week and get them caught up. And we'll put on the agenda liaison reports, and we'll see what advisory meetings were that week so we can notice the public or the press of which liaison reports we're getting, and then others we can add as miscellaneous. And we'll just start delving them up.
And my two cents is that I do like the committee's recommending, the whole committee recommending who, what membership application we should consider.
Okay.
I mean, we'll still see them all, but that's my opinion.
Yep. And I would like to have some of those when it's a reapplicant. I'd like to know that they're a reapplicant rather than a new applicant.
They have to fill out a different application
if
they're reapplying. But it also, actually, the boards are not always aware that someone has expired, and we'll have people that continue to attend a meeting that they're not technically the term is expired. Yeah, their term is expired, but they're still attending the meeting, so they'll have to be more aware of that if they're involved in that process.
And this is something that was a concern to me before, and Ricky went through and created spreadsheets and got some updated stuff, so there's actually a foundation to jump off of for Trish to kind of take over and get that. So it's not as big a leap as it sounds.
I don't think any of this is insurmountable. It's just
it's a long time.
It's been building up and down.
We were not able to
start putting
better structure
into this stuff, but now we are, so let's get it done.
Is there any other items you guys have for us?
Or is this just committee day?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if you're just talking about this, then, I mean, it's a big, ugly animal.
I think I'm okay with
staff,
this.
Staff.
I know where we're headed what we need to do.
Direction, yeah.
Okay.
I know what to bring.
So anything outside of committee things that you guys wanted to talk about today?
Okay.
Kind of the shifting in staffing and who will be where, and they're removing a computer today, making what was my station no longer my station. It will be Trish's station full-time.
Okay.
So initially, Darren, you weren't here, so initially the idea was I would work for both departments equally with
time. Emergency management? Right.
Management. You like this? FYI, we bought them ourselves. So splitting that time, but all of the commissioners agreed that I should front load emergency management because there was a huge learning curve. There's nothing in place right now for what I'm trying to do.
Right.
So there was a lot to do there. They had been trained to take over. I trained them to do everything that I was doing. And then Wendy took on a whole bunch of stuff that she hadn't been having to worry about for a while. So it's been dispersed among the three of them really evenly, I think.
So now when you come back to our department.
So now when I come back here, it's really, it's sort of, I came back to do the AOC party and to do the Christmas party and that kind of thing, just helping with events that were coming up.
Well, and plugging other small holes.
Exactly. Yeah. Answering little questions about stuff like this. And there's plenty of that to go around and helping with people issues and things like that. But coming in here now, there won't actually be a station.
Right.
And the workload is gone.
So there won't be as big an empty station either.
Right.
When you're gone. So and what's the permanent plan for this part-time thing? Is this forever for now? Or is it transitioning to something else in a year or two?
My intention is that at some point that position would be a full-time position at emergency management because I think the need in the community is full-time.
Right.
However, I need to sit down with the emergency manager and see where things are at and the plan and how it's working. But as far as, you know, Ricky, you filled the big shoes here in our department. You and Wendy in the partnership that you two keeping us afloat the last 2 years. And for us, we didn't know what it'd be like having you two come on. And, you know, so that kind of stuff. So it's like, okay, let's keep you part-time so to make sure the transition is smooth. But it has gone at the level now that we've given all your work away. So the question is, does she continue to be here just to fill in with phones or meetings or this and that? Or is it the tasks themselves are assigned out, or do we say, okay, she's no longer part-time in our department and we just have a full-time and two part-time, or what is our need? I think we need to have that conversation at some point.
Well, it sounds like it's morphing in a direction, though. There's some, you're working yourself out of a job, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, and like when budget comes, like do I put her in our budget, or, you know, like we have to work all that stuff out, too.
And
in June.
Well, and of course, it's what's best for the organization, which means what you guys think. And of course, it's not Empire Building. We're serving the public, so it's whatever is the best product we can put out.
So we know we need to talk about that. So can we put that on the agenda either
Tuesday or thank you for catching me up
next week? And
can we have a general discussion to this Thursday?
No, because Darren's going somewhere, and I think you're going somewhere.
No, Carl.
So not this week, but it starts really soon.
Yeah.
I already can be ready next Tuesday.
If it's all fine with you guys, the idea that where it was left off with me was I would be mainly at emergency management. Tuesdays are difficult there because the sheriff's office really takes over the EOC, and they're there all day. They're loud. They have interviews. You can't use the bathroom. You need to go to SAR to do that. And it, just little things like that. So I don't love Tuesdays there for that reason. Which is why I thought, well, I'm just going to pop in here today because Sarah and Emily are doing, they have meetings all day for 3 weeks. So, but now there's not really a space except for that office, which is not set up for, a, you know, like a docking station kind of thing. But the idea would be I would be at emergency management full time and be here as I was needed, like basically on call if there was something that, can you come and do this, or we need somebody for that.
Someone
or,
takes a vacation.
Or whatever.
Is there, when,
if she ever does.
When Jenny was here, we did set that office up, as that was Jenny's office next door.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah comes on board. She doesn't want that office next door. She has her own, but could this be a pilot office? Set that up with a computer so your station moves from out there back into there. We don't use that office for anything.
Right.
But a possibility that, you know, on Tuesdays, the day you want to get away from the powers that be or whatever is over there, you come in and work here on Tuesday. I don't care. In the budget, there's not going to be a line item for being Ricky. And that's Ricky is just Ricky. And I've explained that to you.
You have.
So, and I think it's a valuable part of our organization is that Ricky's Ricky, for whatever that is.
My job description.
But anyway.
It'd be weird to put that on someone else.
So, but the value is there that, Trish needs to have your station.
Yes.
Because she's piling onto this and you're going to be full-time on the computer. Nicole needs to be at the front window and she's doing, and she needs her, you can't pile both of them in there at the same time. So it's okay, but if we have to set up a temporary office for you next door. We aren't using next door for anything.
Right. Well, Wendy and I talked about that today.
So, possibly we just put a station in there and it's...
Well, she has a laptop like you guys. She just plugs it in and
correct.
It comes out.
Yeah.
Whoever,
it shouldn't be a big
anybody
deal.
Anybody who wants to go in there.
I don't think it's a big deal over there. It's already set up for a wired appliance.
Right. So,
well, and it could be if Julie needs
Wendy.
To be in there for, as Julie's helping with economic development, we can have it be laptop-based with a station for anybody.
Because
anybody can just set that on or the Surface. And maybe that's a good space for this, because what IT is saying is they can only have one computer per employee. So they're not going to allow a station here and a laptop there. They want that laptop to be your computer. You bring it wherever you go.
Okay.
And
which I can do. It just has stayed out there because I could sign in here and there was an available workspace for that. But
I understand, but that's where IT is going, and it has to do with how much we're paying for licensing and software and stuff like that.
Yeah, which is totally fine.
Okay, let's continue to have the conversations. I really wanted to sit down with Sarah and look at the budget and make a recommendation to y'all. I like the idea that this is a workspace that whoever we need to be working in there, and it could be shared space or whatever. And if Tuesdays are crazy out there and you need to get away, great. And then you're covering for whatever if you need to. Let's keep having the conversations, and we'll get something going, a recommendation soon. All right, any other additional matters or subjects from commissioners?
I mentioned the issue out on Copper Drive, and a couple come into my office the other day on Copper Drive. They've been getting an assessment since the mid-80s for Copper Drive. They thought it was for a driveway approach, and it wasn't for a driveway approach. It ended up being for Copper Drive. They've ignored it. It's a $2,200 assessment, and now it's got about a $5,000 interest penalty on it. The gentleman is extremely old, and what happened is when they made Copper Drive, an easement that they used to get to their property went away. So it came in from Copper Drive. The county assigned them a driveway approach, and they used it until the guy next door surveyed and said, you're using my driveway approach. I don't want you to do that anymore. So they made another driveway approach next door for their property. They thought the $2,200 was for the driveway approach off of Copper Drive, so they said, why are we paying for something that we had to do ourselves anyway? So that's why they ignored it. Now the grandson or granddaughter and grandson are coming in, and I went down. It comes out of the clerk's office every 6 months. They get another bill, and so we had a hard time tracking it down. It's exactly what it was for, and it's for the assessment on Copper Drive. My suggestion would be to clear the whole thing up. There's only two of them left down at the court. One of them's on Opal Lane and this one here on Copper Drive. My suggestion would be that we assess them. We'll go back to the original. If the guy knew it was for Copper Drive, he would have paid it back then, but he thought it was for a driveway approach. And I don't think that's ever been explained to him what it was actually for. So I'm going to suggest to their family to pay the $2,217, the original assessment, get that off of there, and waive the interest. That would be my suggestion. Clear it off the books and be done with it.
Is it taxes owed?
Beg pardon?
Is it taxes
owed? No, it's an assessment for the road when they built the road, like a, what do you call that, advanced finance agreement.
Well, and the thing forgiven is just interest accrued.
Yeah, but I just, right. So just so you, I want to make sure it's not property tax based on that assessment. Because there's very strict laws about when you can appeal, when it has to be done by, you only have a very small windows.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Correct. And so, great, come up with a recommendation.
I talked to Rob about it, said this is what I would like to do, and he said, I think that's fine. That gets it off of it, gets that, they're clear to go, and away we go. But I will check with Connie. I think it'd be a good idea. It's a good idea, or legal also. Find out that we're not forgiving something we shouldn't forgive. There's only one other one,
yeah. Yes,
and
sir,
they're paying that. The other people are paying that right along, so I think we're okay. It's the only two we have left.
Cool.
Is that it?
That's it.
So I got two. If I wanted to find out about the Josephine County building out in CJ fund, do I just ask finance and they give me an answer, or do you guys want to hear that whole thing and we have someone report it?
We just got
to the
it
board.
Last month, but yeah, we can get you.
You can go to Arthur and he'll give you an update. Arthur's okay. Very good about that, because I think that was a question we had last month. All of a sudden we found out that there was so much money there, but it had been sent off in different directions and promises made that we're struggling with keeping those promises.
So yeah. I also recommend in that process, make sure to talk to Julie, because there's a whole history about the Ivy fire suppression and economic development funds that she needs to bring you up to speed on.
Right.
Because that's also part of that. There's an MOU. There's the
sale.
Okay,
Julie.
Okay. Your other one?
The other one is, you reminded me that the charter says that department heads will be reviewed when a new commissioner comes.
Could they be excused?
Yes, sorry. I have a recommendation for that I'd like to propose to you guys.
Like your coat.
Unless you were...
Right.
We bought them. We bought them. We decided that we needed to be able to wear a jacket when it's cold instead of a short sleeve shirt.
Fashionable.
I love it.
So, we... So,
my question was, Dan, I don't know if you heard it, was that the charter says we're supposed to review department heads when a new commissioner comes on. And so I don't know what you guys want to do.
So there's two things that the charter says about that review. That it be when a new commissioner come on and annually before budget. In reviewing this goal setting with all the facilitators in Southern Oregon, one of them stood out to me as somebody that does 360 degree reviews.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process that you come in and you can evaluate somebody at a 360 angle. So the people that work for them, peers, and supervisors can get a whole picture. Because you haven't worked here long and would not really have feedback to evaluate, because there's different we haven't had a system. I was going to recommend to you guys that we have a facilitator come in and do that 360 review so it's fair. to everybody concerned. You get feedback all the way around the person. You see what the public's perspective, the employee's perspective, peer perspective, and mm-hmm. our perspective. And it's objective because it's an independent consultant that would come in and give us a report on how those people came back, and then we can do that. And that way it accounts for that you're new in the role. Right. It accounts for that we have different relationships that may be positive or negative, and it gets an objective report, and it puts us in compliance with the charter.
And so is that for all?
I need to call and find out. But yes, it would be for all the department heads, not elected officials, unless they voluntarily wanted to submit to it for the sake of getting feedback on how they're doing it. But
so it's not an audit, it's just a view, right? Yeah. It's some information gathering?
But employees have opinions on how it is to work for their bosses. Public have opinions on how it is. Peers may say, this is what we're experiencing. And so I'd like to get a cost idea.
Yeah, I think that's doable. Let's at least look at how much it costs and make a decision.
But I think it would be the fairest, most objective way of getting a full picture of what those evaluations are. And then nobody can say our biases are the outcome or lack of interaction.
We can insert our biases later.
Well, right? but to me, what's interesting is I saw that in the thing and I said something. Mike Weber came to me and said, did you know I recommended that at the manager's meeting last month, that we get 360 evaluations? And so it was kind of interesting that...
Yeah, it's popping up.
Yes, and it gives a full picture. So I would love to bring back the cost and get it going so that we can get that going. And then it...
I'm in.
Well, that's my two things.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm in.
Okay, my other one, so I will follow up soon to see what we need to do. I volunteered you both as...
thanks.
Martha Schrader as our new Association of Oregon Counties president. Her initiative this year is housing. And I brought up what you said about having tiers of housing development and that you both, with contracting experience, have a common sense approach to coming up with solutions, and that if she were going to pull something out, that she maybe wants to reach out to you guys to get your perspective. She also says she wants to make sure she's hearing from Phil Henderson and Deschutes. So she's looking at doing some stuff with housing. I mentioned that you both have... you've had ideas that are common sense. And so I just thought I'd let you know that I told her your names because I think that we need to have help from some of the bigger counties. She represents Clackamas. And as AOC president, she's open to hearing from us at the rural level of what our needs are versus just Portland development. Mm-hmm. And they've done some things in Clackamas with housing that have really push the capacity, including some veterans housing that were at a lower capacity but met some needs. And they said, like, well, you can't put them in these small houses. You can't put them in these blah, 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 blahs. Well, it's better than outside. It's better than homeless. And you had that common sense about these tract homes that were doing that. So she was favorable to your idea that you had mentioned. And so I just said, well, Dan ran a heating and air for 35 years. Darren's an electrician, still has a company. You might want to, you know, just make sure they give you input in this process.
My dad was a contractor.
Yeah, and I didn't. My dad was a contractor too. That's where I learned to side a house and roof a house. It's not the same as you guys, I know.
But one of the things that I and Phil Henderson, not to interrupt you, but when we were at League of Oregon Cities, I don't know if you took that. I took that tour of affordable housing in Bend, and I was so freaking mad when I got done with that. I was spitting nails. Ben's idea of affordable housing is the Lodge out there in Eastern Bend, or West Bend. It's the Lodge. It makes Sun River look like a mud fence. Stone fireplaces in this reading room with a gas log fireplace.
Yeah.
All stainless steel appliances in the laundromat. Heated subterranean garage. And no oversight. I told the guy, I said, so if I apply for here, I just moved to town, wife and two kids, and I don't have a job. Can I get an apartment here? He goes, yeah, you'd qualify. You don't have a job. You don't have any income. And I said, so 3 months later, I'm a pharmacist at QVC. Or at whatever the big pharmacy is.
Walgreens.
Walgreens. I'm a pharmacist. I'm knocking back six digits. Do you come out back at the end of the year and say, yeah, we need to look at your financial picture now? No. Once you're in, you're in. So now you got a dirt cheap apartment that is upscale. It rivals upscale. And guess what?
You're in for life.
No, they're going to build another one. It's been such a huge success.
Right.
Makes everybody's tummy feel good. And away they go. And then I went to something that I thought was good, but it still had marble countertops. Why doesn't it have formica? Nope, it's marble countertops because that's what we have to introduce to the low-income people so that they will assimilate.
Well,
and this thing went on and on and on and on until it got to the veterans' housing, which they took an old motel, and it was condemned by the city of Bend. And the veteran said, can we take this and try to refurbish it? And they said, yeah. Their contribution was, yeah, we'll work with you on it. The veterans got new sheathing on the roof. The veterans roofed it. The veterans rewired it. They did the whole thing. And then you know what they did? City of Bend? Instead of saying, hey, this thing's fantastic. You guys get to live here? Nope. They started charging them rent out of their VA benefit after they built it. God. So this thing, when you ask Bend in the room, I'm a little bit concerned. I don't think Phil's on that.
No, Phil's not that.
Because he and I have had this conversation.
And this is part of why he probably got on as a commissioner.
Because I like Phil.
Yeah.
And I think... And
Martha values his feedback. And she made the statement, we can't supplement housing forever. And so I just wanted you to know that I mentioned both of you because of your work history and your common sense approach, that it would be great to make sure that in the housing conversation that we're at the table. Mm-hmm. So I just...
We'll keep talking common sense.
And I would really love you to have the time with Julie to talk about that housing ordinance and the pieces that we didn't go forward with and what need they were meeting, and because we're not complete with that topic.
Right. I see we're ahead of the state on that. State's thinking about allowing ADUs.
Yeah. So I just, it wasn't that I volunteered you for anything.
I just
said that you guys will have a perspective that we need to make sure.
We're volunteering you for
that's stuff. That's the room that Darren and I need to be in.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And that's why I gave her your names, because one, Dan, you come up with great ideas.
And I'll yell, and he'll smooth it all
sounds
over.
Sounds good.
Yeah. He's the guy that's the...
All smooth.
Okay, so...
I'm passionate, and he's crafty.
In a good way.
I will be bringing something to you. There's money in Title III dollars that we need to be determining what to do, and part of that we can do.
What's
is
Title III?
Title III is part of SRS.
Okay.
But it's got very strict,
narrow guidelines.
Yeah,
and they keep reducing what we can do with Title III.
It was FireWise for a while, but we also have a Integrated Fire Community Something Protection Plan, CWPP, with Jackson County, and there's an implementation available. So emergency management is going to be making a recommendation of a position. So I suggested that we go through the process of seeing what the needs are, but part of it is to meet that need of the Title III dollars that we're struggling to meet the recommendations. So before they wouldn't let us implement it, what good does it do to have a fire plan if we're not implementing? So this would be implementing. So we'll bring that back to you guys.
Okay.
With that, anything further?
No, ma'am.
We're adjourned at 11:32.
Julie.